Good evening. It's me, the Monk. Have you ever listened to Trash Taste and thought, that doesn't seem too hard, I can do that? Well, you're in luck, because today I want to talk about Anchor, the easiest way to make podcasts, and it's completely free. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many, many more. I mean, it's literally what we're using now. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. And you can add any songs from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are literally endless. You can make anything, music analysis, talk shows, or even an anime podcast that talks about anime. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you want to give podcasting a go, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Anyway, back to the episode.
Bro, this is like Squid Game.
No, it's what? Not.
It says a lot about society.
You can't just say something is like something.
Just say everything is like Squid Game. That's like humor now. That's what makes me laugh.
What's the meme? Well, I don't get the meme.
I don't know.
What's the punchline?
That's the point. It's like poo-poo stinky.
And so it's like an anti-joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this says a lot about society.
Says a lot about society when I have to explain an anti joke.
It says a lot about society.
I just want to see the context of this fucking meme.
There is no context. It's just like Peter Griffin just like leaning over in black and white, and it's like this is a lot about society.
This does say a lot about society.
That has become a meme.
Says a lot about society.
I don't know why it's become a meme. I'll be bored of it by the time this episode airs.
Like there are some anti-jokes that I get, and then there are some that I just like, this isn't even base boosted. How can you find it funny?
Like, give it a day and you'll be laughing, I bet.
Welcome society to another episode of Trash Days.
For fuck's sake, Joey!
It says a lot when I have to open a Trash Days episode like that.
I don't think it says enough.
I am society member number one with two more members of society.
Hello.
You know what says a lot about society? The fact that we don't watch anime.
see, now you're laughing at the joke.
I'm just laughing at how shit that fucking segue was.
Did you just like speed run titular title?
I think so. Okay, for once we got in a pretty interesting discussion before we started turning on the cameras, and we were like, wait, save
it for the episode.
We should turn on the cameras before we start talking.
But instead, we're talking about society. Yeah.
I can't believe we had a conversation and didn't try to monetize it.
Yeah,
what
right?
the fuck?
Fuck.
I just don't talk unless
unprofessional podcaster.
I was basically ranting how I don't watch anime nowadays because...
I mean, you guys know that anyway. That's not a revelation.
No. But I think a lot of people think it just because like I've fallen out of it. It's not that. It's that like I find so much anime just so goddamn boring. Now.
I just find it's not even about it being boring. It's just redundant. Like, I just feel like it really says a lot about society.
Oh my God. See, he laughed. See, you like the meme. Okay, why does it say a lot about society, Jerry? I want to hear your explanation.
It's just, he was going to say it says a lot about anime.
I was going to say, it really says a lot about anime. Yeah. But then the moment I said it really says a lot, it was like
the 100% unintentional pun.
I support this. Okay, go on.
It really says a lot about anime when all it takes is for me to read a synopsis
and I
could probably tell you with 90% accuracy what the first three episodes of that anime is going to be about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, and not even in like an arty-farty general type of way, like in a detailed way.
Yeah.
I would like to preface, as we have to preface every argument. There is always like one or two shows that are good.
Yes.
I think that are entertaining.
No, all anime sucks.
Yeah, but like there's just so much like mediocre stuff that is so uninspired and just rehashing of what we've seen before and just kind of jumping off successful characters and premises we've had before. Like I was saying to Joe earlier, I was like, there's so many characters now I feel like I've watched so many anime. Like I get the power fantasy ones, right?
Yeah.
But like, I understand that the point is that they're meant to be all powerful and they can't fuck up.
Yeah.
But like, is that always that fun? Like, Is that always like great? Like sometimes I'm like, can you have like a flaw or something? Like something that makes you a little human no. so that I'm not like bored out of my mind watching you?
No, because-
like, Saitama's bald, right?
That's yeah. a flaw. That's a flaw. That's a flaw in itself.
I can relate, man. Yeah. I can like, you know, like-
No, I get it because it's like, but that's the problem, right? Is that yeah. I think the reason why power fantasies are just, they make the most like quote unquote perfect main characters is because if they had flaws, it would yeah. completely go against the point of it being a power fantasy. It's like, yeah. why would I want to self-insert myself into this yeah. all-powerful character if this yeah. this character that is supposed to be the better version of me also yeah. makes mistakes, right? I get that, but at the same time, it's like, okay, that's fine if you're self-inserting, but not every person who watches shows like that wants to self-insert. They just right. want to watch a character that is completely independent from them go through this yeah. adventure or whatever, right? But I don't know. It's,
I feel like I'm like the spokesperson for like that,
go on,
that kind of anime. Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, I completely recognize that. it's the problem with anime nowadays is that one, there is so much of it.
Mm.
And number two, a lot of it is what I just call disposable shows where right. it's just not even like a show anymore. It's yeah. just content. It's yeah. just something you consume, right? Mm. So that's how I view a lot of isekai, right? The reason I watch a lot of isekai is because it's exactly the same thing. I'm not going to remember most of them, but yeah. I get the same kind of experience. It's the same region as what I see people watching, you know, quote unquote trash TV shows for like trash reality shows. So, yeah. Like, you know what you're getting with say, you know, Kitchen Nightmares or Hell's Kitchen or, you know, something along those lines where it's just a repeatable format. You know, Gordon Ramsay comes to a restaurant and surprise, surprise, the restaurant sucks, you know? And
that's why I also don't watch shows like that either. Yeah. For the exact same
but
reason.
But there's like a massive market
yeah,
for that.
Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. I agree in some senses, but then it also feels like especially isekai, it's just like so inbred. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they don't take from anything else. They yeah. just keep fucking like
incest.
They just keep having
incest. Yeah, it is incestuous. Yes.
God, calm down.
The incest card?
But like these shows, when I'm watching them, it just feels like the shows aren't trying to take from anything interesting. No. They're all just taking from the successful show in their own category.
Yeah.
Right. So I kind of feel like I'm just losing my mind watching these shows where like no one even tries to do anything even remotely different.
Yeah, it's the issue of like anime that is inspired by anime. Like isekai as a genre is basically just like a self-sucking like circle where it's like the, is it Ouroboros? Where it's like Ouroboros, the fucking snake eating itself.
Yeah, yeah.
It is.
It is an Ouroboros. And that's why, again, like it just feels derivative. Like you watch a show that is supposedly brand new.
Yeah.
And I just read through the synopsis and I go, I feel like I've seen this show about 10
which
times.
I'm glad you say that. Sorry, Gon.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like if I was just saying that, I feel like some people might argue there's a language difference going on where I can't fully understand the nuance of these characters.
Like I just go, like every time I go to a bookstore, right? And I'm trying to find something new. And I go over to the light novel section because I always want to see like what's popular.
What's popping,
right?
Yeah.
Because I'm just curious. It's like, okay, maybe there's like a change or something, right? I go over and I see all these new titles I've never heard of. And I just look at the title and I look at the covers and I go, how is this title and cover any different to the one next to it?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it doesn't, it just, they just look like spin-offs of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just from the feel and even going through the synopsis, I just think to myself, it's like this book right here was inspired by the book sitting next to it and vice versa. There's no difference. It's just a reskin of the same thing. So every time, you know, I do like the What Will I Be Watching, which is where I, you know, I go to the next season. Right?
Biggest lie of the century.
Exactly. But nowadays, the reason why I still continue that show on my channel is because it's not because I actually sit through and watch all the anime I talk about. It's so that I can hopefully find that one show that will actually be non-derivative and somewhat interesting for me to actually go and watch.
Which is why for like the isekai genre now especially, like the show that I'm like been bigging up so much is Mushoku Tensei.
Yeah.
Which is just like, it's the isekai that basically started the whole isekai light novel trend in terms of this is the one series that from what I can see has like, this is the one progenitor for all the tropes or a lot of the tropes that you've seen. And like watching the anime adaptation, which is airing right now, it's just a really fucking good show. Mm. It's like not a, it's, I'm not saying it's a good show for an isekai. It's just a really good show. Yeah. It's a great fucking fantasy. Yeah.
So, and it's like, and it's not until, so I've started watching Mushoku Tensei. I'm like halfway through the first season because season two right now, right?
Yeah, season two right now.
So I started watching the first season just because Gon and a bunch of other people were like, oh, this is the one that started it all. Yeah. And I was like, bet, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I completely agree. Like it's not only, you can see where all of the origins of what made the isekai genre so great came from, but it's also, as you said, it's just a good show.
Yeah, like the fact that it just, like with so many isekai and so many of these disposable anime nowadays, it's like the first episode airs and the anime is like, you know how it is. You know how it is. Yeah. We don't need to explain shit. We don't need to like build up the world or the characters. Yeah. You know this character archetype. Yeah. You know this world. Yeah. And like, I remember watching the first episode of Mushoku Tensei and they spent like a whole episode with where they're building up this character and how he dies and how he's a baby and how he like wakes up in this world and he's just like figuring out the world. Even though in every other isekai, they're just like, dies, isekai'd. It's like 5 minutes.
It really says a lot when I've watched some isekai, shut up.
It really says a lot about isekai society.
When I start up a show, just a generic isekai show, just wanting to see what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm watching episode one, but it feels like I'm halfway through the season.
Yeah.
Just because they just assume you already know all these tropes.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you not going to try and make it unique or interesting or explain anything about the world? Do you just assume that everyone who watches the show already has seen the show in some other form?
Because like sometimes you also watch an anime as well where you can tell that the people behind this put a lot of effort into this. There's like that extra tinge, that extra sparkle that, you know, that
you can tell when an anime is just like clearly thrown together.
Like for Mushoku Tensei, for example, like, you know, with a lot of anime that they speak, where the characters speak a different language and they just don't even bother. And they just like, they translate it back into Japanese, even though the characters are not technically speaking Japanese. Yeah. So in Mushoku Tensei, they didn't just make up one language. They made up two separate fantasy made up languages for this show, which is used in the show.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that with any other anime, especially not any other isekai or fantasy anime, where the characters are actually speaking to like the fantasy characters in their own language, which is just a made up isekai language or a made up fantasy language. And then different species of different languages. So they literally have just made up two separate languages. I'm just like, this is the shit that not like everyone will appreciate, but this is one big indicator that someone, the people producing this show, really gives a shit.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like Welsh or something.
Yeah.
It's like Icelandic.
Well, they made this shit up. It's like,
because you watch Vinland Saga, right?
Yeah.
So do you remember that scene where I think it was like, it wasn't Askeladd, but it was Thorfinn talking to some French people with also English people there. And Thorfinn is from Scandinavian, whatever the Scandinavian language is. But they were all speaking Japanese to
really
each jarring. Other.
I really hate that.
And they were all speaking Japanese, telling each other how they can't understand what each other is saying, even though they were all speaking Japanese. And I'm just like, this is Vinland Saga, fucking amazing, amazing anime. Mm-hmm. But little things like that are just like immersion breaking, you know?
No, it really does make a difference. And, you know, that's what I would argue some of the greatest fantasy stories out there is what made it so engaging. I mean, like, could you imagine if you were watching fucking Lord of the Rings and just Elven wasn't just spoken at all? And like every character speaking to the Elvens in English, you know, like that would could be such immersion breaking. And it would also just completely ruin the world building.
Well, even like Netflix dramas, right? They'll sometimes have like 4 or 5 language, different casts and everything. And that's like something that I always get, like, I appreciate a fuck ton. I love that. Like, but in anime, it just feels like that never ever happens. I feel like it. I know it's happened a few times. I can't remember which ones. I know it has, but it just never really happens. Like,
It just annoying. Sucks as well, though, that I feel the main reason why a lot of anime just opt to not do that is just because they think, oh, the audience isn't going to be fucked.
Right. Well, I mean, I think most in an ideal world, they would like to do it, but it's just, there's so much anime being made now that so much of it is made under a big time crunch.
That is true as well.
You know?
I wonder what the whole anime thing is. Is it like a natural thing if me as an anime fan who's watched anime for a very long time to get bored of anime? Is it a natural occurrence is it that I'm being picky? I don't know because, you know.
Would you say you're growing out of anime?
Really says a lot about society.
You know, it does say a lot about society. One thing that says a lot about society.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of anime, and you know, a lot of anime do this, like, this kind of like disguise of like, we're not for kids. But then you watch it and you watch the character dialogue and how they talk and you're like, only a teenager would think like this is how people talk to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is not like a real conversation. That's why, like, you know, I hate to use a Western example, but like Castlevania, like the script in Castlevania was so goddamn good.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the character interactions in Castlevania were so good. Like I wanted to know more about these characters every time they spoke, even the ones I didn't like.
I agree.
Because every single, like every character when they spoke about anything was a fucking delight. But in anime, it's always just like, it's got to serve the plot. If it doesn't, it's not about tits or funny. I don't know, like me being OP. And like I was saying earlier as well, another thing I really dislike, right? Lelouch is like anime's favorite character, and it really fucking shows, because like there's so many characters that are like Lelouch light, but like fail to see what made Lelouch so good, right?
It's like, well, diet Lelouch.
Lelouch is good to me because,
well, what did make Lelouch good then?
One, right, first of all, you get lured in with this, oh my god, he's a genius, right? Like, right, he's cool, he's sick, bro. Yeah, he's so strong. And then you realize he's a fucking psychopath. Yeah. And that he's scared as well, like anyone else in this world.
Yeah.
And the thing that I find that a lot of, and you know, even like Light, right? Light in Death Note, Light makes mistakes. Light worries, Light panics, Light freaks out, right? Like, it, with a lot of these power fantasy shows where they try and make a character that like resembles or takes from that, I find that most of the time it's so boring because there's absolutely no other character trait to them. Mm. Maybe the one thing they're sad about is like the Saitama thing where like, I'm so strong, it's boring. Yeah. But even then, the way that One Punch Man does it is really tasteful. I don't know how I don't even know how to describe
it's because the show doesn't take itself seriously.
Right, Saitama does it in a way that's kind of like really fun and really playful, that doesn't really take itself too much. But anytime I watch these power fantasy shows, I feel like my brain is rotting. Like I'm watching it and I'm just like, this is, I'd rather watch Big Ed have like some mental breakdown
about what
on 90 Day Fiancé. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to put it. Like, I feel like anime treats me like I'm stupid. And I hate that.
Yeah.
A lot of anime shows do treat the audience like they're stupid.
Yeah, and, I hate it.
Maybe because a lot of them are.
Like, Jojo assumes I'm stupid and then doesn't give a fuck and carries on anyway.
Yeah.
Like, Jojo doesn't care. You know, it's fucking stupid, but I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was telling these boys earlier that I've recently had to start watching anime at like 2x speed or 1.5x speed, which is like-
Because
like
one fucking, time speed is so boring.
Which is like fucking insane. I mean, I don't watch it at that point for enjoyment. It's just because-
It's just to consume,
yeah,
right?
It's just for like my seasonal videos where I do have to watch everything. Okay. I remember it got to a point like 2-3 years ago where you look at the seasonal chart and you're like, if I watched everything on this chart, I'd literally be watching 2 seasons worth of anime every week just to keep up with every show being aired.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just impossible to actually consume or watch everything coming out now. Yeah. That's why a lot of it is just, it's just disposable shit, honestly. Yeah.
I'll go.
No, I was about saying, and you know, that's, I guess, like one of the biggest like criticisms I get about like Joey doesn't watch anime. It's like, yeah, because I can't. There's so much shit out there. So much of it is so derivative that I would dead ass rather go back and watch shows that I didn't get to watch all those years ago or shows that came out before I was even born, right? Like, I'd much rather spend the time on that because there is, in fact, less of a selection all those years ago than there is every single year, like new shows coming out, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, like, I don't know, like, I'm limited with my time, right? Like, I don't want to spend fucking, you know, 20 hours of the day watching a bunch of shit that I'm not going to remember next week because it's so fucking mediocre and redundant.
You always do like these, right? So you do the anime, the seasonal anime videos, right? And like, I watch them. So, you know, I watch them. And like, I feel like after I've watched them now, you'll always like talk about a show or two that sounds amazing and then I'll never hear you ever mention it ever again. What's up with that?
Well, I used to talk about shows that have potential, right?
Okay.
And a lot of them might not say pan out. And some of them do.
They might fizzle out.
Yeah, they might fizzle out. That's why I do like my end of year videos as well, which is just like, okay, these are the shows that I actually stuck with. Because there are some good shows that air every season, but then there are some shows that I feel are just the best and can only are best consumed via anime, right? There are some shows that have interesting concepts that I call like manga recommendation shows, which is I watched like the first 2 episodes. I'm like, this is really interesting. But like, you know, when it's just like an average adaptation.
Yeah.
So what happens is I just go off and read the manga and I'm like, cool. I don't need to watch the anime anymore.
I had a much better experience reading the manga, right?
Yeah.
That does happen. Yeah.
Yeah, when you just watch, you, when you just watch a show and you're just like, I can get this exact same experience just reading the manga. And then you do. And then you're like, great, the seasonal anime did its job as a manga recommendation channel.
There's like something about reading manga that is way more palatable for shitty shows.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know why, but there's, I think when these characters are so boring, because I can just speed run through their boring ass dialogue, it's like way more enjoyable. Like I think it's
because there are more like places or more factors in anime that leave for a larger room for error.
Yeah.
Like, because the only thing you have to really worry about with a manga is the dialogue and the artwork and the story. Yeah. But whereas with anime, you have things like voice acting to worry about. You have things like sequencing to worry about. You have things like animation and fucking music. And like, there's all these other factors that can make that show look and feel way more mediocre than the core of the show.
Yeah, which is why like I rarely read manga that hasn't been released yet, because I do feel, even now that I'm reading more manga, that if there's a good anime adaptation, it's just like, it's just untouched. Like like a good anime adaptation of a good manga, fucking untouched. Yeah. Like I would rather experience the anime firsthand, which is why when these anime do get released and I see one or two episodes, that's all I need to see to be like, okay, this is going to be a mediocre adaptation. I'm just going to read the manga, you know. And there's so many shows right now which I feel like you can just read the manga and you'll be completely fine with.
Yeah.
But there are just like those one or two gems every season, or like most seasons, where you're just like, okay, this is a banger. I'm glad anime exists because of these fucking shows.
Yeah, true.
Like Attack on Titan is one of those, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. I love Attack on Titan.
I cannot read the manga for Attack on Titan.
I refuse to read it. I just want to, people are going to try and spoil it.
Yeah, I mean, not to demerit anyone who does read the manga, but I just feel like Attack on Titan anime is the best way to like experience that story. And
I agree.
I can't imagine getting like the emotional highs I did with the story without having watched it in the anime first.
Yeah. And again, it's because I feel that because of the added factors that make an anime different from a manga, like the animation, the voice acting, the music.
Yeah.
In the case with Attack on Titan, all of those were fucking amazing. Yeah. So it just heightened.
Angry about the anime, though. Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like those like anime only factors only heightened an already great story and characters. Exactly. Right? So that's why I feel you just get a better experience with the anime.
Yeah.
But a lot of anime adaptations can't do that. In fact, they pull it down sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why like there's some shows where like I know is going to like slap like Chainsaw Man.
Yeah.
That's one show where I'm like, I could read the manga because I know it's a fucking amazing manga. But I want to wait for the anime.
See, but that's good though that you guys are waiting, because in case it sucks, you have a great manga to look forward to.
So it's
just a win for you guys, right? For me, it's like I've already read the manga multiple times now. So like I'm scared that my experience could go really far down or it could just keep getting better. Like I'm at a gambling stage right now. Yeah. For you guys, it's like, I don't care what the plot is. I'm fucking taking over the money.
I want to like anime. I do. I want to watch more, man. I really do. And I feel bad that like-
But I feel like part of the reason you don't watch more is because it's like harder for you to watch more now living in Japan, right?
That too.
Because you have to go out of your way, because everything you watch is on Netflix now.
I mean, I a big thing for me with watching stuff is like being comfortable. Like I don't want to watch something at my computer desk there. I do not want to do that.
Mm. Yeah.
So I like to Chromecast things, as we all know.
Yeah.
And I like to Chromecast things. And I mean, I can do it with anime. It's just a lot more annoying to do it. Crunchyroll doesn't work in Japan, and so you have to get through a lot of layers, and Chromecast doesn't work with VPNs unless you have like, it's a whole fucking mess.
Yeah.
But there's ways, but, it's a pain in the ass, and Netflix is a very like hassle-free. I don't have to think, you know, everything just works nicely. Yeah. I know that's so fucking normie of me. I know that's normie, but it works.
Yeah. No, but like I've been slowly starting to feel the same way. Like
because
you value
your time, and mild frustration is like, you know, my house could burn down, and whatever, we'll deal with it. That's a big problem, right? Mm. I'll be devastated. But there's something about mild annoyances that get to me on an emotional level way more than like devastating.
Are you saying your house burning down is a mild inconvenience?
You said your house burning down like it was a mild annoyance.
Bro, if my house burned down,
why did it sound like your house burning down is the same equivalent?
I have a very good insurance policy, okay, Joey? All right, no. I mean like, something about like massive, like really big annoying things happen. I don't know why. It's like easier for me to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But like really annoying little things that like you can't quite complain about. and it's not big enough to be a problem.
Except
she's
on this podcast.
Always annoying. Yeah, this podcast. You know, she's a little bit annoying. You know.
Yeah, that's why for me, like the if there's one thing that will get me frustrated every single fucking time, without question, it's just dealing with small issues in tech.
Yeah, that
annoys me more than like I'm not a very like ragey angry person, but that is one thing that will get me pissed off every time.
Yeah. By the way, if you haven't noticed, the lighting is a little bit different because our Wi-Fi isn't working in this office right now.
Oh yeah. And, speaking of tech issues.
Yeah. You just reminded me. And like having to try and fucking debug and deal with the Wi-Fi issues in this office, which we haven't fucking figured out what the issue is yet, has just like put me in this like rage-inducing fucking coma, exactly. I swear to God.
That's why though, like having a like, so like my PC setup at home is like quite complicated. Mm. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of moving things, a lot of wires.
Yeah.
I have like two externally powered USB ports that are all full. I have like 15 plugs taken up. Like this shit is like a fire hazard probably. But like, when one
you're running the fucking White House from your place. Yeah.
But when one thing goes wrong, it like fucks everything up.
Right.
I have to deal with so many tech issues for like streaming or making YouTube videos or anything.
Yeah.
I just don't want to deal with tech issues when I want to relax. Like that's not what I, because it brings me back into work.
It brings me back into my engineering phase.
Yeah.
Right.
Where you turn on something, you turn on a device and something doesn't work. Or you write a piece of code and something doesn't work. It doesn't render out correctly. And you're just like, great. So how do I figure out what's going on? And you just have to go through everything one by one by one. And I remember, since I've been trying to set up my new office and do a proper streaming setup and everything like that, I'm just like, wow, I can see why people complain about cable management. Because before when I moved to Japan, I was just like, one computer, two monitors, speakers, done. Don't care about streaming. Don't care about that shit.
Yeah.
Now we're like doing all sorts of different things. You've got to worry about lighting. You've got to worry about all these different plugs. Yep. You've got to worry about, you know, the Go XLR, all this. Like there's so many different devices on our desk now. And as I was setting up, I overestimated how fast it would take to like set everything up in a neat package.
It took me like 4 days.
So I set everything up. I'm just like, okay, let's like cable manage this entire thing. Spent the entire day trying to like cable manage everything super neatly, setting up all my devices so that they are like optimally placed. Set everything up, do it for an entire day.
Yeah.
And then I forget that my desk is a standing desk and I've been setting it up during the sitting position. Yeah. And so what I did is I set everything up. I'm like, great. Check my emails, stand up. And then the screen just like turns to black and everything falls down. I'm like,
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I'm just like, maybe YouTube is overrated. Maybe stream is overrated.
That's the thing that people don't tell you about cable management too, right? When you put it all in like one braid, you put it all together, when you want to change one cable, that shit fucking sucks.
Yeah.
You have to take everything apart and then find the cable like between like the nested, all the shit. And then you're like, all right, maybe being neat is just not worth it. Maybe I should just be fucking messy.
Yeah, my idea of cable management in my place is just take all of the wires and just get them off the ground. And
then
that way, the Roomba doesn't fucking suck up the wires. It looks clean. I can easily vacuum under there. I'm happy about that.
Like I streamed for like the first time in months yesterday for this chess stream. And pretty much everything that could go wrong did go wrong when I pressed the go live button. I set up my stream setup, right? You know, set everything up, tested everything the day before because I know what it's like. I know how temperamental equipment is. So I tested everything before I went to sleep. Everything was working fine. I wake up. And, you know, I didn't even turn the computer off. I put it into sleep mode because I'm just like, don't fuck up the settings. Don't fuck up the settings. This is the first time I'm going live in my new office. I know something's going to go wrong, but I hope it doesn't go wrong too badly.
Yeah.
So I go live, you know, I put on the starting soon screen. Everything's going well. I switch to my camera. It's black. And I'm just like, oh no. Oh fucking no. And I'm just like, okay, turn the camera on off. Cause so the camera we use is a DSLR with a Cam Link, which is what we use for Trash Day.
Cam Link is just saying that you connect a camera to a PC basically.
Yeah, yeah. So I try restarting the camera in OBS. I try turning the camera physically on and off. Nothing seems to be working. And I'm just like, fuck, I think I just need to restart the computer. And so I restart, I turn the computer off, restart the computer. And for some reason, the computer's not detecting cam link. It's not detecting the cable.
Yeah.
So I go under that. This, keep in mind, the fucking chat's just like, what the fuck's going on? You know?
It's the worst when it's happening with a chat.
Yeah,
getting on your ass about it.
Like lol Gaunt stream, you know, it's just like, this is under like the time crunch of, I just went live, people are already waiting for me. I've tweeted this shit out. And so I go under the table and I look at, I at this point, I'm in panic mode. So I just take out all of my cable management and everything like just fucking explodes. I'm like, there's just like an explosion of wires. And I have to like, it's trying to finding out like one strand of spaghetti in this fucking sea of wires to what this cam link wire is. So I find the cam link wire, take it out, plug it back in, doesn't work. Take it out, plug it back into another slot, doesn't work. And I'm just like, okay, well, I'm out of options. So I go into my storage, get out like my old Logitech camera, and I'm like, fuck, having to plug this
in. The webcam.
At this point, 10 minutes has passed. I'm just like, am I even gonna have any viewers? I'm like, whatever. Plug it in, webcam works, thank God. Go live again. And then OBS has reset all of my settings. So I go live, you see me on the camera, no noise. And then I realize I can't just turn on my mic anymore because my mic is plugged through my Go XLR, which has about 10 different mic settings on the stream. So here I am just fucking, I'm like, you know when Homer Simpson is at work going through a nuclear breakdown. Yeah. He's just like pressing buttons. Yeah. That was just me. Just like, am I okay, guys? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? And like, this is like the most stressful shit. Which is, I empathize with any streamer who goes through technical difficulties.
Awful. I've been there.
There's nothing that kills an energy of a stream, not just for the stream itself, but for like your own energy.
Yeah,
quite like going through technical difficulties.
When your stream like crashes.
Yeah,
and you like. Come back, you lose like half your viewers. It's so depressing.
And
it's not that you care about the numbers, but it's just sad seeing like you just gutted it in half by just accidentally like fucking something up.
Yeah.
And fucking cam links are so temperamental. It's like, I know that like it has to go in like a certain USB port on my PC or it doesn't work. Like, that's weird.
Yeah, I haven't even figured out what the issue I had is or why the camera just stopped working.
For me, it's like, it's so weird. For me, it's like, if I want to like record something through Cam Link, it's like I open OBS, right?
Yeah.
And then I turn the camera on. And usually it'll like pop up if it works. It just doesn't pop up like 99% of the time. So I'm like, what the fuck? Turn it off, turn it on. Oh, now it works.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, there's like a tech goblin just being like, did I work today? Maybe not.
Yeah. Every time you turn on Cam Link, God flips a coin. Sometimes it lands tails, and sometimes it lands heads.
Keep the settings or fuck it up. Oh, time to fuck it up.
But yeah, apparently even if I keep the settings, it still flips a coin. Because, so I haven't debugged the problem is yet. And I just have to like hope that God smiles on me next time I stream and nothing goes wrong.
The thing that's annoying about like that kind of problems and like tech and streaming problems, you can't even like throw money at the problem to make it go away.
No.
It's a problem and you gotta learn how to fix it, and it's a pain in the ass. It's so annoying. I've had like every goddamn issue under the sun. It's terrible. Something always breaks.
Yeah, of course.
Like especially now that we've been doing more live action content. Like
just call it live action content thing.
Like on camera? I don't know.
Just content. I don't know.
I love the live action adaptation of content.
I love the live action of the live action remake of Giga.
The Netflix live action of Giga.
It's so good.
Trash Chase is just a live action anime adaptation. Live action adaptation.
What are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about?
This is what happens when you watch too much anime. It just fucking rots your mind.
Live action.
Live action.
Like real life to me now, it's just live action.
God's like, bro, I went out. God's like, yo, I hung out with someone in live action. It's kind of nuts.
Goes outside and looks at the grass. It's like, whoa, look at the graphics.
I went to the Konbini in live action, bro. Like, what?
Yeah. Went outside and I was like, yo, look at this FPS, man. Yeah. Why can't anime?
It's 144 hertz. What is it?
Supermarket's just live action Amazon.
But no, it's like made me realize that just making content isn't enough anymore, because you have to, like, just worrying about making good content is enough anymore, because you have to worry about so much tech things that I just never thought about before. Because before it was just me, a mic, and a script.
Yeah, and now YouTube is very friendly with that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I could barely plug in a fucking GPU 2 years ago. Yeah. Like, and now I have to, like, learn how to, like, do all this, like, tech shit and, like, deal with Cam Link. And, like, I'm thinking about getting a second camera, and I'm just, like, terrified to even, like, think of the possibilities of how much that's going to fuck up my already nice setup.
Well, you can't use two Cam Links in one PC.
Yeah, right? So now I got to
You can, though.
Very temperamental, though.
Yeah. So, see, I'm scared to do that now. So it's like, fuck, what do I do?
No, because, like, yeah, before it was like, before my entire YouTube career was me, a script, and an editing software, right? And now it's just like me, a concept, maybe a script, and then lighting, camera, audio. Is the light flickering? No, okay. Got to change the ISO settings. No, got to change the frame rate. Okay, no. Is the audio? No, it's peaking. Why is it peaking? Oh, because the audio, because the settings got changed. And I'm just like, I just wanna make content.
This is why people have production companies. They don't want to do it because it's like impossible to focus on what you're doing. You're worrying about all the tech.
Exactly.
Yeah, and by the time all the tech gets sorted, you're just like, I've wasted like 2 hours and I haven't even done anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can monetize because I haven't recorded. I haven't even started recording yet. What is this?
That's the one thing I think you really gain from being like YouTuber, Twitch, or any of that shit, is that my God, do you learn how to like fucking adapt fast?
Oh yeah.
Like you gotta learn or you're fucked.
Your MacGyver skills go through the roof.
You have to, man. Yeah. If you're the kind of person who panics and can't focus when shit's going wrong, then rip.
Yeah.
I'd like to say my engineering skills have like been really useful in terms of just problem solving. There's so many small problem solving things you have to do every time you're on a set or you're doing something and you're making content, because something inevitably goes wrong and there is no manual or playbook about what's going to go wrong, but something new is going to go wrong and you're going to figure out how to sort it out on the fly.
Do you think there'll ever be like I remember seeing an article about this on Japanese Twitter of Japan was thinking about like starting like university courses for like YouTubers and like online content creators?
I think maybe, but I think there's definitely room for like someone to be like, hey, I'm a guy, I will come to your house and set everything up for you and tell you how to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you pay me a lot of money.
But what if it's like-
We're actually looking for that right now. If someone wants to help us set up our Twitch setup in a Trash Taste office, we're trying to find a specialist. We actually can't. We've had to figure it out ourselves, and like, we always get comments about how jank our setup is. That's because we made it and we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
I think it's like a decent setup for live. Like it's not perfect, but I think we just want it to be like more professional.
And it's
impossible to find someone who's like knowledgeable about this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And normally if they are knowledgeable about broadcasting, they're not on Twitch. Then they're on like an actual TV.
Exactly. But like, wouldn't it be interesting with like, you know, 10, 20 years down the road, if YouTube just keeps, you know, going up and up and up, that, I don't know, maybe like our kids will end up being like, so what university degree are you going to go into, son? It's like, I'm going to go into YouTube and Twitch.
I mean, the way YouTube's evolving now is that the quality of content just keeps increasing. You know, it's getting harder and harder to compete with the larger creators because the barrier of entry is just so much higher now.
Yeah.
Like even talking about, you know, an anime podcast,
which
is what we started. Well, we put in like thousands and thousands of dollars just to get the basic setup in our old studio. And now we've like, we have gone as professional as we can be, but that was like after having like a surprise success with what we were able to do. But before that, it was like a lot of money that we invested and we didn't know if it was going to turn into anything.
We were in the red for a while, that's for sure. Thank God.
Yeah, so now I just think, well, if you're a new content creator and you're trying to, you know, it's like make a podcast or compete with some of the content that is already established by a lot of larger creators, there's so much you have to do. There's so much you have to worry about. And it's getting harder and harder to not only distinguish yourself, but make content, which for the average viewer, they feel is like of a high enough production level. Because
it's just about like doing what's in your means, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, I've had friends who are like, oh, I want to do this thing and this thing. It's like, yeah, well, that's good. But like, you don't have the ability to do that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, scale it down. Like, you know, Mr. Beast was counting to 100,000 because he could do that. I'm sure Mr. Beast had some grand visions of giving away like $20 billion or something. But, you know, you have to start where you can. I think a lot of people as well, they want to be on a higher level, but you just need to work your way up, especially if you're solo, right?
Yeah, and I would argue that in the case with YouTube, it's not always like TV, or it's not that, you know, just because you have TV quality, it's going to make you successful, because I feel there's still plenty of room, especially on YouTube, for, you know, quote unquote, less, you know, lower quality content that is still just as enjoyed as the highest.
Some of the most popular content on YouTube, without a doubt, is people just screen recording Minecraft. Like,
yeah,
it's like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. It speaks volumes about, it says a lot about society. That you know, just playing a game. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, it's still going to be king. And I think no matter how insane it gets, like, people at the end of the day are going to want to watch people fuck around and playing video games. Yeah. That's because there's just something fun about it. I don't know. I like it. I don't know.
Yeah.
And like, I know people are always like, why do they always talk about being YouTubers and stuff? And it's like, fuck, man, it's almost as if,
I don't know,
like,
it's almost like it's our job.
It's tough because like, I also want to talk about other things too, but it's like, man, like 99% of my day is me doing content creation. Yeah. It's like,
what do you guys talk about when they go to the pub? They talk about their hard day at the office, right? Yeah. At work. This is exactly what we're doing. Yeah, I'm just like, you guys have like fucking, you guys have aneurysm when you try like to sort out stream setups and stuff. I do.
Yeah.
I feel you, bro.
I do that. This episode is sponsored by Boxu.
Guys, I've got a sudden craving for D snacks.
Well, Joey, look what's right in front of you.
Wait, is that a Boxu?
What's a Boxu?
I'm glad you guys asked, because I'm going to tell you all about it right now. Boxu is a monthly snack box subscription service that delivers original assortments of premium Japanese snacks and tea pairings. Boxu makes such a perfect and memorable gift for anyone in your life who appreciates Japanese snacks and culture, especially during a time where people aren't able to travel as easily as they would like to. And actually, not only would you be giving them a Boxu, but also, you would also be giving them the chance to win free tickets to Japan!
Nani? Did you just say free tickets to Japan's?
Free tickets to Japan. Because Boxu's having a giveaway where they will be giving away 5 lucky winners to win a free set of tickets.
Oh my
Anyone who is subscribed before December 31st is automatically entered. Link is in the description down below, so you can check out the terms and conditions or other methods of entry.
Use our code TRASHTASTE10 and the link in the description below to become eligible to win the giveaway by subscribing to Boxu, and the code will get you 10% off your subscription as well. Don't miss out on this unique opportunity, available for anyone who subscribes until December 31st.
So, what are you waiting for? Check that link in the description for a chance to win a free trip to Japan.
Come meet us. Oh, Trash Taste Studio Tour.
Back to the show. Going back to what you're talking about how you can't, like, how you're just bored of the anime archetype or the anime character archetype. Yeah. What's like the last character you would say from like any medium that you were just like, yes, you know, I fuck with that.
Not an archetype.
I fuck with that.
Squid Game, Jay.
For real?
Every character from Squid Game.
Well, every character is like flawed from Squid Game.
Yeah, they're all pretty flawed.
Yeah, but I would argue that's what made the show so great, right? It's because everyone sucked.
Yeah. What I enjoyed about Squid Game compared to like every other, let's say, death game is, or a lot of other death games, is that, yeah, a lot of the death games just run on complete archetypes.
Yeah.
You know, like, this person's the asshole, this person's the good guy, this person.
And we did have the asshole and the good guy.
Yeah, we did, but with like.
But you gotta have bare minimum, right?
Yeah. But the thing is, at least I think why Squid Game worked is that they gave more time to develop that part of their characteristics rather than them just being the archetype. Right.
Yeah, I mean, there were entire episodes of Squid Game that didn't have any like death game shit involved at all. It was just, you know, the characters getting to know each other, you know, knowing about the whole like backstory of some of the characters. Well, like, one of my favorite episodes of Squid Game is when, you know, I don't know if there's going to be spoilers, but it's like halfway through when, you know, they all decide to quit Squid Game and they all go back to society.
It's literally the second episode.
Okay. Spoilers for the second episode. It's when, you know, they all decide mass vote to quit and go back to society, and then they realize how much they go back to. Like, it really says a lot about society when they decide to go back into the Squid Games, like, after how much they realize that how much their life fucking sucks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that episode was great because you not only get to know about all the characters and their backstories and their relations to one another, but it also just like puts into a situation of, oh, this world must really fucking suck to them that they have to resort to going back, right? Like, yeah. That was great.
It wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a perfect show by any means. You
no,
know,
definitely
a lot of things wrong with it. And but I understand why it's so popular. Like, it's very engaging. It's got a really good premise. And the characters, like, you hate someone, which is saying more than a lot of shows can get, right? A lot of characters you really feel, I felt strongly that I disliked. And a lot of shows, like anime, I barely feel fucking anything about these fucking characters.
Yeah, but that's what so I would, goddamn yeah, that's what I would argue is that I think a character, I think it really says a lot about society. I can't fucking.
You need to
stop.
I need a. I swear.
I heard you processing that in your mind because you're just like, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. And then you said, it really. And then you were just like, fuck.
I swear I'm not saying it on purpose. I say that a lot. I just say that
like,
a lot.
You're like, it really, abort, says.
A lot.
Abort, a lot. And I'm just like, oh, it's too late. It's too late.
I say it so naturally in my speech. I just, fuck, this meme has ruined me. Anyway, what was I even saying? I don't even know.
Squid Game.
I was saying that the characters are boring.
Yeah.
So I was going to say that I think a character that you end up absolutely fucking hating is a way better character than a character you feel nothing towards.
Right, 100%.
Right, yeah, and so many people think like, oh, this character sucks because I hate him. I'm like, well, no, that makes him a good character because you feel something towards that character.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It's like Game of Thrones and Joffrey. Like, I found it so interesting. Have you seen like interviews of the actor of Joffrey?
I felt so sorry for him.
He's like such a cool guy. Yeah, yeah. And he's like one of the nicest guys I've ever seen. And
he quit acting.
And he quit acting, right? And he quit acting.
Did he actually?
Yeah. He quit acting after Game of Thrones. And it just shows like, I don't know if it was his first role, but he was definitely like not an experienced actor, right? Yeah. But it just, surprise, surprise, you know, a good actor makes a hateable character even more hateable, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt really sorry for him hearing stories about how, you know, kids or, you know, I say kids watching Game of Thrones.
Kids watching Game of Thrones, yeah.
Surprise, but like people actually thought that he was his character and people thought he was like an asshole. And I'm just like, what?
That blows my mind how people can like actually look at an actor and think, bro, yeah. I bet Leonardo DiCaprio says the N-word all the time, bro. And I saw him in Django. He said it, man, bro.
That's like the same people who are like, wow, I can't. Did you know that Joji is just as shitty of a person as Filthy Frank? It's the same thing. It's like, I can't believe he's like that in real life. You know, it's definitely not a character.
Zoomers discover Filthy Frank for the first time.
I love that
shit. Fucking hilarious.
It was like, they're trying to fucking cancel him because like, did you know 5 years ago, he was this Filthy Frank character is making fun of like mentally, you know, disabled people's like, yes, internet. We did know. Thank you.
Definitely an amusing period, to be honest. Yeah.
How long ago was that? Because that felt like yesterday.
It's about a year or two ago. This is very funny.
Yeah, because it's just, yeah, you know, times change and definitely someone like Filthy Frank and Filthy Frank's transition to Joji.
Filthy Frank.
I'm fucking lisping like crazy now.
It says a lot about society.
I've completely forgotten my point.
Filthy
now.
Frank.
Fuck, no, you just like,
I'm sorry.
Darren Brown's my mind. I'm sorry. I fucking hacked my mind.
I mean,
sorry, I'll stop.
It's just, I don't know. Now that I look back at it, it really is an interesting period that Filthy Frank was living in because, for one, my God, that shit would not fly. And there's a good reason why he quit. But
it is strange how rapidly it changes.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I also remember as well at the peak of Joji's career as Filthy Frank, how there were so many kids that thought that was just him.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, he was so good at keeping up.
Because so good at just acting as the character. And you know, any normal person who watched Filthy Frank would know that, of course, that was an over-exaggeration. That was a character. But
I remember at a time, Joji just didn't exist. You know, I remember once he like make a video about him coming out as Joji?
Yeah.
And then he actually deleted that or something.
He made a vlog as George Miller, who's, you know, his real name, as like himself, and how he said that he absolutely hated his fan base.
Yeah.
I guess the weird thing is that is tough to talk about is that I guess when you're hired to play like Joffrey, right?
Right.
It's not the actor didn't make this character, the actor didn't make this story.
Yeah.
I just think that's kind of difficult to talk about with Filthy Frank is that, okay, he chose to make this character.
Yeah.
This is entirely his thing. So it's like, how does that play an effect into how much of the character do you excuse? Right? Mm. Like, I don't really give a shit about it, but it's interesting seeing how other people talk about it and how much they think, you know, oh, this is abhorrent, you know, this is him doing it, et cetera, et cetera. Because he does have control over the character, right? Yes. Like, he makes the creative decisions. Mm. So I do wonder how much valid criticism you can give in from that position, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, I think it's the same criticism you'd give to any writer or anyone who writes a script or a character. I mean, you know, why not just cancel George R.R. Martin? You know, cancel Quentin Tarantino, for some of the stuff he scripts and some of the characters he writes?
I agree, but it's one of those things.
A couple of Quentin Tarantino says the N-word all the time.
It's weird because it's like we're in the YouTube era, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like the rules have like kind of changed.
Mm.
Like,
why though? They shouldn't change.
I know why they. I agree with you.
You know, I think it's because YouTubers just seem more personable than say someone like Quentin Tarantino.
Right, right. I'm not saying that's how I think, but I think it's worth discussing.
I think a lot of the people who try to cancel other people are, you know, a younger generation. Right. And, you know, it's going to take a learning experience of when this younger generation who are now in their teenage years, when they grow up 5-10 years in the future and realize some of the shit they're saying now are things that can get them canceled when they're an adult, they realize, oh, okay, maybe society just changes as time goes on, and what's socially acceptable changes, and you know, maybe we should give some people the benefit of the doubt sometimes when things happen.
Yeah, because
10 years ago.
You go back 10 years ago to like any Newgrounds comments, right? And you see the amount of people throwing the R word and the F word and the N word around in comments, like it means nothing because back then on the internet, everyone, it was just a general understanding that none of that meant anything because it was the internet. Now you look at it now and you know, if you wrote any kind of comment or tweet like that, it's just insta-canceled. Right?
Yeah.
Two points. First of all, why is it that then why do you think that some people would then try and cancel someone like Filthy Frank, right, who's a YouTuber playing a character? Why do you think they would try and cancel him but not say someone else who's just like playing a character?
I think it's because now the younger generation who don't know about Filthy Frank, right, they only know George as Joji, who is this innocent guy who just makes music, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's to them, Filthy Frank is like his dark past. You know, it's something. It really is. It's his dark past that it's like, wow, I can't believe he changed identities online to try and hide the fact that he did some dark shit in the past.
Man has a fucking villain backstory.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it's like his evil upbringing, right? It's like that's how some people perceived it though, which just made it so funny because I think to a lot of these people who try to cancel Joji as Filthy Frank thought that he changed his name to hide the Filthy Frank era when everyone who grew up with Filthy Frank knows that no, that's not the case. He just didn't want to keep making content like that. It didn't make him any money because of the changing landscape of YouTube and he just wanted to focus on music.
I'll save my other question for later, but next question then, following up on that.
Yeah. Question to you guys.
Question to you guys, right? Okay, so if we had a Filthy Frank now that came out now, do you think it would be any different?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because so you think it would never be a thing?
Dude, I'm sure you've seen enough Filthy Frank videos to know that 90% of the shit he made would not fly today.
Right, but why is it that we look back at that fondly and we look back at these videos and then we
lived through it.
True.
Right? And we know that it wasn't serious. We knew that it was a caricature. It was an over-exaggeration.
I always wonder as well, I'm like, okay, so you get to play a character, right? And you get to do this stuff. I wonder though, like how much are you allowed to do as said character? Like where does it stop where you're like, okay, this is too much?
It all depends on the time and what's acceptable at the time. I remember, I mean, back when our parents growing up, it was cool to look up to rock stars who trashed hotel rooms, did fucking drugs until they, you know, they were more, they were more cocaine than blood, you know? Yeah. And you know, that was what was cool at the time. That was what was acceptable at the time, you know?
Just imagine like, it's like a TikTok of someone being like, I worked at the hotel that the Who stayed at and it was like really fucked up. They trashed the room and everything and like, you shouldn't support them. I could just envision it. It's like
The Who is canceled for being rock stars.
It's just, but like, that's the thing, though, right? I know. I understand.
But you know, honestly, like we joke about that, but it might honestly be the case.
That's what would happen. happen nowadays?
Because you don't hear about like rock bands anymore doing shit like that, right? Yeah, because I feel they're scared now that the possibility of that.
Oh, the rock star of then is dead.
The repercussions, yeah. Just like they at the time they could get away with it without repercussions, yeah. And that was just what was like accepted at the time. I'm not saying it's right, but
yeah, it was rock and roll. But
yeah, it was rock and roll.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously.
I mean, I don't know how some of these fucking rock stars are still alive. Honestly, hearing some of the fucking stories.
Like, yeah, like Keith Richards is like, he should have died like 50 years ago from the amount of coke he did. But he's still playing with the Rolling Stones. It's like actually amazing. Like he's actually like, he's Dio. He's like, he's 100% Dio.
Man, I don't know. I love talking about all that stuff and like, again, considering it, because it's just so difficult to like get anyone to like give you a good definitive answer of where they think things lie.
I think it's because it is up to interpretation. And I think it really does depend on the person.
Like there's probably a lot of people watching this podcast who've probably watched Filthy Thang. I think the shit's like cringe or like too much, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, there's some videos where I look back, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, there were some videos where I'm like, okay, that's a little too far.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think part of it is just acknowledging that, you know, society changes and, you know, especially things that are comedic, you know, comedy, a lot of comedy pushes the edge a lot of the times in what is acceptable in that time period. Yeah. And just because like there's shit I found funny 10 years ago that is very cringe or like very like, I don't know about that one, Newgrounds animations. Yeah, exactly. But like, I acknowledge that part of that is just because the times were different. Yeah. And it's not that I was a bad person, you know. It's not that we were bad kids or that, you know, the type people there were, you know, inherently bad. It was just things, what is acceptable changes as time goes on, as different issues, different social issues get brought up to the limelight. And you're just like, okay, well, now that, say, this social issue is brought up, I do no longer find this one thing funny. And, you know, that's part of how society evolves.
Yeah, right? I mean, you know, I still fondly remember when I was growing up with Newgrounds and just seeing so many Newgrounds animations, which at the time I thought was like, the funniest shit on the planet. Right. Like the first time I watched Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny, I thought that was the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. And I watch it now and I'm like, that's cute. It's like, I can't laugh at it. I can reminisce about it, but I can't like throw my head back in laughter at it anymore because it's just something that, it's just, as you said, it's just completely changed with not just how I perceive comedy, but just how society.
Can we stop saying society?
It's in my mind. It's such a power word. but like, you know, how the world perceives comedy or like the barrier for comedy, right? And
Another thing that I wanted to talk about, I wanted your opinion on, is that you were mentioning about, you know, how you could say anything you wanted to say in the comments and the people didn't give a shit. In the UK, did you see that they were trying to get a law passed to like have it so that you need your like public ID to sign up to websites and and then you could be like criminally charged if you bully people online?
They were
trying to get that in the UK.
Yeah,
so. Really?
That was actually there was a similar law like that in Japan actually years ago.
Really?
With 2chan. When 2chan was a thing, when 2chan started to become a thing and started to get really serious, is that there were many politicians that were like, if you want to use 2chan or any kind of message board in Japan, you need to put like your real identity and get like properly ID and scanned to avoid cyberbullying.
Have an ID card.
Right. And I remember the founder of 2chan, Hiroyuki, he went on TV campaigning against it because he was like, that's just censoring. Like that goes completely against the whole point of sites like 2chan and just internet and stuff like that. And he was ruthless about it. He basically said, if you can't handle it, then fuck off, you know? Which, you know, in some aspects, yes, I agree with, but in other aspects I do see, like especially nowadays with kids who
have no chill
whatsoever, right? They just think they can go ham on everything without thinking of any repercussions, right?
Yeah. It's weird, man. Cause you know, obviously I can sympathize with people who have had some really awful experiences with public shaming and stuff like that. And it's really, you know, I imagine it's not easy to deal with.
No.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's like, all right, I get it, but come on, anonymity is an amazing thing and it empowers a lot of people. And you know, I feel like when you try and take away anonymity from people, it disproportionately affects people who are in worse positions, you know? So it's weird. And also I thought, okay, so let's say I have to make ID to join Twitter in the UK. Bro, I'm just boot up that VPN and like go to America. Like I'm not signing up with my ID. Are you kidding me? Even if... Even as a public figure, I do not want to give my ID to like Twitter. Like,
yeah.
I do not want to do that.
But that's the thing, right? It's like anonymity is such a power.
Have you not?
No.
Do you not need to give it for verification?
Do you? Oh, wait, you do that. Oh, yeah, you do. I guess I did.
But I don't. Checkmate.
I don't want to, but I have to.
Yeah.
Twitter's like, checkmate.
Checkmate, we have your shit.
I just realized.
We know who you are.
Connor, I would never give up my ID for Twitter. I would rather go to war. Jokes.
But that tick mark, though.
But that verification.
That check mark, though. Mm, enticing.
I can't wait for this fucking Kirby enthusiasm thing.
Poorly aced things.
Literally took like 5 seconds.
I meant not like, as just a general user.
I get what you mean though. I get what you mean.
It's stupid.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing is like, I was saying like, I think that's what's so powerful about anonymity is that I think true anonymity is so difficult to achieve outside of the internet. That's what makes it so powerful on the internet because it's really the only place on the planet where you can really just be completely anonymous and do and say shit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I hate the fact that some people are just really abhorrent to me online sometimes for no particular reason. But I'm not going to sit there and be like, you know, people, that means nobody gets to enjoy the freedoms of the internet. You know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of countries where that's like life or death. That anonymity is very important. Mm. Like I would never, ever want to take that away.
Yeah.
Even for a blue check mark.
I can just imagine someone like talking shit to me, right? Like quote retweeting, saying something mean. And I'm like, what's your identity? Show me how old you are. Where do you live? Like,
let me contact the internet police. Oh wait, that's a thing now.
The cyber police.
So what are you going to do? Go to prison because you fucking ratioed someone? Like what? Like what's, what? How are you going to define?
Calling on my cyber lawyer.
Yeah, how are you going to define bullying like that?
Yeah.
Like, this is the reason why bullying laws have like never ever worked. Because it's like, how the fuck do you define bullying? Like one man's insult is another man's like Pepe laugh. Like, I don't know, man. It's like, it's, I don't know, you know, what some people may find funny and jovial, other people may find like fucking deeply offensive. Like,
yeah.
But half the time, if you're super offended by something like that, it's probably on you.
I get like the whole thing of like, you know, cyber thing is like a real thing. And, you know, it's not just a simple matter of, oh, just close your eyes or, you know, just get off the internet.
Just don't look, bro.
Yeah, just don't look at it, right? Like, you know, it's obviously not that simple, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, yeah, you know, people's thresholds of what they're offended by is very different.
I mean, I don't think there is a perfect solution because, yes, I do think people would need to like chill out online.
Mm.
And I don't agree that the right solution to that is by monitoring everyone and kind of having to make it like a default thing where you have to give up your ID and your anonymity and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They already have that shit anyway. Why do they need it?
Yeah.
they already know that. Like the government doesn't fucking already know everything about
this. Yeah, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's
not like they're tracking you every day.
they know what hentai I'm watching. They don't need to put cookies on my browser. I'll straight up tell them, bro. Like, leave me alone.
I know, yeah. So I guess my philosophy behind it is just like to keep your mans in check. You know, if you do see someone acting like a dickhead, then, you know, it's kind of a social thing now.
Yeah, just say, oi. Stop being a dickhead.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
All right, I need to piss quickly.
Oh my God, even this man needs to piss every two damn seconds.
He has downed like half the bottle.
One thing that pisses me off about this debate, right?
Yeah.
Is that they always just piggyback off of like really tragic events to push their agenda of we can't have anonymity.
Yeah.
People are dying out here from anonymity. And it's like, well, you're just using like really tragic events to push your agenda.
Wait, how are people dying from anonymity?
Oh, yeah, you know, like cyberbullying people, you know, like, there's a very famous one with the Terrace House girl.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I remember that whole started a debate as well.
Yeah.
And then I know that with the like English football players, people were being like super racist towards them. It's really fucked up. And then that's when the debate really started going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, this is horrible. But like the bigger picture is like they're trying to like take away your
freedom.
We already resigned so much. Why are you just like giving it to them? Like, hey, yeah, take it, please.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, like people are still racist whether they're anonymous or not, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think that I feel like we're not getting to the root of the problem. You know,
bro, go to the Facebook groups. That's literally got their whole family tree on there and they're saying the worst shit. They ain't going to change anything.
It's like, oh, cool. My uncle just joined the KKK fan club on Facebook. It's like, great. It's not anonymous. It's still racist, you know?
No, it's fine.
But like, that's the problem, right? It's like, I feel, yeah, as you said, it's like they're using the anonymous excuse to cover up the actual root of the problem, right? It's like the root of the problem is not this anonymous person saying racist shit. It's the problem that that person is a racist.
Man, sometimes I wish one of us was just like fucking weird as fuck, so we could just like, so you would just be like, yeah, dude, I'm like anti-vax, 5G, like, just so that we'd have like more interesting debates.
More interesting.
Just because I'm like, why are you gonna be fucking sensible? He's like, what the fuck? Like, stop agreeing with me.
God forbid we have common sense.
God fucking damn it.
God fucking damn it. Why can't one of you be like a conspiracy
theorist? Why are you not like part of the KKK bankruptcy? We were roasted.
Let's just invite Alex Jones to the trash taste. just balance it out.
We wouldn't be able to contain Alex Jones, man. Like, who are we kidding? Like, why are you going to be so damn sensible all the time? Oh, fuck you guys. Oh my God.
No, but I mean, like I guess this is like picking back on like the discussion we had last week about hearing what the other side has to say, right? And I can't remember exactly what I said to like end off the podcast, because that's how it is on Trash Taste Podcast. Hell but yeah. I do remember thinking one thing I actually like doing is
we follow people from the other side.
Yeah, we like following people from the other side just to see what they're thinking or what their argument is. So one thing I actually like doing is I like to see what some of like, say, the craziest people are thinking, right? Mm. Just so, not because I want to believe them, just because I'm like so curious about how they got to that point, right? So one thing I like doing is just listening to like flat earthers defend what they believe, defend flat earth, right?
Have you seen how weird the flat earth like online presence is though? Like there's so much like anti-Semitism there as well. Like really? Weirdly, yeah, it's really bizarre.
I did see a video of a guy, I think it was a Vice documentary, of a guy going to like a flat earth convention.
Was it, maybe it was All Gas No Breaks?
No, it wasn't All Gas No Breaks. It was like a proper like documentary going to a flat earth convention. And it was just, I couldn't even get mad at the stuff they were talking about, because like anyone sensible can tell you that what they're saying is just doo-doo caca. But like at the same time, I was so fascinated being like, I genuinely wonder how you got to this point.
Yeah.
Like not even to like hate, just like, I'm just like, psychologically, I'm just curious.
Yeah, exactly.
What you had to input and what you had to be surrounded by in order for you to truly believe that the earth is flat.
Yeah, and like looking into it and seeing like so many different like fucking flat earthers and different videos about flat earthers, I'm just like, oh, a lot of this just comes down to like a core distrust of the government and a system, like a systematic distrust. It's so much of a distrust that they would rather believe that the earth is flat than believe what scientists say and what's like, what an organization like NASA says, which is like, it's fascinating, and it's also hilarious that to them NASA is basically just like the fucking Illuminati. You know?
The problem is that we've actually had real conspiracies happen, so people just have like this weird confidence that like it's happened before. We've proven that some conspiracy theories have happened. It has happened in the past, and so they get like weirdly confident about it, I think, in a sense, from some stuff like that. I don't know. I don't have this mindset. I like, this is stuff like that is so far from where I have a view of things. Can't even begin to like,
I can't even begin to dive in.
No, I can't. No. Like, I don't even understand like how, like, and I think this is the problem, is that like, a lot of people just cannot even remotely see where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Like with politics, sometimes, you know, you can kind of understand, right? You disagree, but you can somewhat understand, very rarely online. But, you know, but with stuff like this, it's so to us, it's so insane, right?
Yeah.
And I don't even know how to begin to be like, yeah, you have a point. I don't even know how to entertain it. I don't know.
To me, it's just like, it's not about entertaining. It's just like, I'm just genuinely curious. I'm just like genuinely, and like not even trying to change your mind. I'm just like genuinely curious. How fuck did you get to this point?
Is it something for me, from like a young age? I don't know.
For me, it's not even the point of like me trying to figure out if I can even say, yeah, you've got a point. It's for me, it's the most, all the time, it's just, go on. I'm listening, but I'm not going to like take in anything. Yeah. I am just listening.
It's weird, my whole life growing up, right? I've never met anyone who's been into like really bizarre stuff like that. Well, not openly.
Yeah.
No.
So it's kind of like weird for me, because I'm like, okay, I've experienced my whole life. Like, I understand now as an adult, I can kind of have my own circles. Mm-hmm. But I wonder why, as like growing up and like university and stuff like that, how I've never really met anyone who's been very hardcore into this, at least in the UK. I don't know about elsewhere.
I think it's maybe because they kind of come dime a dozen, right? Like, I feel it's like they make it, I think media just makes it so out that there is this like massive, large community that are flat earthers.
I think
whatever,
it's getting bigger.
It is getting bigger. I still don't think it's to the point where it's become noticeably bigger, you know? Like, yeah, I still think at the end of the day, it is still very, very tiny population that actually is involved in this.
It's hard to say, at least to the point where
they're willing to go to a convention about it.
I mean, it definitely feels like it's getting bigger.
Right.
Like before, I remember hearing about flat earthers and I would just laugh like that was just like an urban legend or something. And then you realize that people like this actually exist and they're getting larger because they have a platform to be able to get larger on, which is, you know, the internet, right?
I mean, I guess the fact that an entire convention exists about it.
Exactly, right?
This is the thing that I hate about it as well. So I hate talking about it because the more you talk about it, the more you like give them a strange sense of confidence.
Yeah.
Because we're so sure. Because we're so sure that we know that the earth is round.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
And it's weird the fact that we, because I feel like the fact that we almost keep talking about it and being like, yeah, we know it is. You're dumb.
Yeah.
They think, oh, it's just adding to the conspiracy because it's what I've been told, that everyone's going to tell me I'm stupid and that everyone's against me.
Yeah.
And so it's this weird thing where I'm like, all right, we just never gave them any kind of credence before. We never paid any attention to them hundreds of years ago when they said this, or hundreds of years ago, they think it was flat. But you know, like 1930s, whatever, I don't know, people didn't give a fucking shit. They were like, whatever, you're crazy, have a nice day. They wouldn't talk about it, right? But now, because it's so well discussed and it's so well spoke about, I feel like it almost lends itself more confidence or more avenues, people who are susceptible to stuff like that, to get into it.
Yeah.
I feel the more we talk about it, the more it just gives that group of people power, right? You finally recognized us. Yes, we do exist.
Well, that's why I always come from a place of I want to understand the other side, because
Do you understand?
I do kind of understand
do you think it comes from? Hmm? Where do you think it comes from? How does a person get to like believing in something like that?
Well, a lot of it, like I said, is such a distrust of the system that it's this.
Where does the distrust of the system come from?
There's a lot of things that it could come from. A big thing is religion as well. You know, a lot of flat earthers you see are, you know, very, very religious people. Not to say that religion is the core cause of this. You know, I have to preface that as someone who is religious myself. You know, but you know, it's people who distrust the government, distrust organizations so much that conspiracy theories to them seem more palpable than what everyone else is telling them, because they've grown up in an environment where it's like, don't trust what everyone else is telling you. And because everyone around them is telling them that they're wrong, that only, like you said, strengthens their views and looks for more reasons for them to like believe in this system, right? Believe what they've come to believe.
I'm sympathetic in some ways. I feel like, even though, yeah, you're right, like they don't trust in the systems, almost because I think in a lot of ways the systems have failed them, like systems that you know, we take for granted, because you know, we had good upbringings, you know, we were very lucky that we had very ordinary quote-unquote lives and had a good education, I suppose. And I feel like if you are unfortunate enough to just kind of not have access to a lot of things and you know, you're told that certain organizations or things are supposed to protect you or just to learn from these things, and you don't, and they let you down. I can understand why you'd almost not trust these systems that are supposed to be put in place to help you.
Yeah.
It's tough though. Which is why I
like doing shit like this, because especially on the internet with how online discourse is, like I said last week, a lot of people would know what they stand against, but very few people know what they stand for. And that's just because it's so much easier to like prove someone else wrong than prove yourself right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's come to a point where I want to understand the other side, because one thing that's missing from a lot of online discourse and online discussions is people trying to fucking understand each other. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just trying to prove each other wrong rather than having a healthy debate. And I think having an understanding of the other side is the first step to having a healthy debate. And so if I can understand flat earthers, then who the fuck on the internet can't I understand? And that's why that's why I do this shit.
If open conversations were normalized on the internet, we'd all be driving fine cars, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, right. So, but unfortunately, we are still on the ground.
Yeah.
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 It's it's a hard.
Says a lot about society.
Says a lot about society.
And then we can't even have an open conversation about flat earthers or not.
But like, it's like, okay, people very dumb, and we're also extremely susceptible, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Like any like war ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to convince your people that you want to fight something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you convince a whole population of people?
I don't know. Ask Hitler.
Yeah, right. But that's the thing, right? I believe this was like really well documented after World War II. Is that like they?
Well, what if there's a very small but possible chance that you have weapons of mass destruction in there?
Yeah.
They got a bit of oil. They have a bit of oil. Stock prices go boom.
You like cars? Do you like driving?
I'll find the video link. Mudan asked me. There was I watched this video and it was by this guy. And it's basically talking about how after World War II, a few Jewish people who fled and a few scientists who lived in America.
Yeah.
They wanted to study how people could go along with like really bad atrocities in like World War II, right?
Oh,
what
made
your everyday guy, like a normal dude, just kind of like sign up and be like, okay, we'll do this.
Oh right? Yeah.
Like the whole the Nazi party.
Yeah. How they just kind of, you know, and some of the really horrible stuff, how you could convince people that this was the right thing to do. And it was basically explaining how like there are like certain traits that one might have which would make you more susceptible to end up doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
Some personality traits. It was really interesting because it's stuff that you like you wouldn't think correlates to you. Like you think, oh, I'm really strong-willed.
Yeah.
But maybe you like strong leaders. Mm. Strong leader asks you to do bad thing. Oh, maybe he's justified it in a way that makes sense, right? Yeah. Like it's... I think we all like to think that we are like
impenetrable
fortress of mind that nobody can affect our opinion or woo us to do something that we would never do.
Yeah,
I think in reality we're a lot.
It
more
happens
fickle.
All the fucking time.
I mean, there is literally a psychological experiment that details that. I can't remember the exact name of the experiment.
Trust this podcast. I remember this thing. Yeah. Can't exactly remember. Roughly went along.
No. But I know. Ashley, can you search up the experiment? It's fuck.
That's the prisoner one, yeah?
No, it's not the prisoner. That's the Stanford. That's the Stanford one.
Can you explain it?
So, it's the electricity one. Yeah. So it's the one where...
Authority. It's where... They'll tell them that they're zapping
someone. Is it Milner's experiment?
I don't know what experiment he's talking about.
They'll turn up the electricity because somebody tells them to do it.
Yeah.
Because they say that it's like a good, but then they have like a fake person screaming while they're turning up the electricity. Oh. Yeah. And someone keeps telling them to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And they keep doing it because a doctor or an authority figure is telling them to keep doing
so
it.
It's basically like fake Squid Game, right? So you're put into a room.
Why did you have to bring... This is probably like the deepest debate we were ever having. And God is like, it's kind of like a society we live in. Which
you could have just said liar game, you know? It's better examples.
No. Because
Ashley is...
Okay, Ashley.
I think called the Milgram experiment.
Milgram's experiment. That's it. I said Milner. It's Milgram. Basically, the whole thing is framed as a memory exercise, right?
Okay.
So you, the person who's being experimented on, basically, you're told that you're going to take part in a memory exercise, and you're going to sit in a room with a person next to you, and one of you is going to be the person learning, and one of you is going to be the tester, right? And so what you're told is that if you are given an electric shock, if you get an answer wrong, then in theory, then you should be a better learner because you're doing like shock therapy to yourself. That's what you're told. Right. Obviously, that's complete bullshit because this experiment's got nothing to do with memory, right? Mm. So one of you, by chance, is the learner, and one of you is the teacher or the experimenter or the teacher. Mm. But in reality, you're going to be given the teacher. Right, because you're the only person who's actually being experimented on.
Yeah.
Right. And so the other person, who is the learner, goes in another room. And you have to give them a memory quiz, right? And the problem is they're going to get it wrong. And that's part of the design of the experiment, right? And you're given a taste of what the electric shock that they're going to be feeling feels like, right? Yeah. And it's like on the lowest level.
Yeah.
Right. And so as this experiment goes on, originally, they get the questions right, and then they get one answer wrong. And so you have to administer them an electric shock.
Yeah.
And they feel like pain, right? And you hear them feel pain. You don't see it, but you hear them in another room, even though it's just a pre-recording.
Yeah.
And then as they get more questions wrong, the scientist tells you to up the voltage and administer the shock, right? And they keep getting it wrong, right?
Right,
and so the scientist keeps telling you to up the voltage and keep administering this electric shock until to a point where like they are fucking screaming out in agony, or you can hear them on the speaker screaming out in agony. And then it gets to a point when it's just silence, right? And it's just silence. And then the scientist keeps telling you, just up the voltage, up the voltage. Yeah, keep going, keep going. And like the amount of people who, even though, you know, they were totally uncomfortable with the fact that they could hear someone screaming from the fact that they were administering this electric shock and it still went silent, they went all the way up to the end. Jeez. And they still administered like the most high voltage in their mind electric shock.
What a big
to this
brain
person.
Experiment.
Because we trust authority figures.
Holy shit. You know,
so and like it just proved that a lot of people, more like, you know, the majority of people will be willing to listen to a person who they view as an authority figure to tell them to do something, even if it's like a bad act.
Even if it goes against what they believe.
Even if it's a horrible act. Yeah. And it's a very interesting psychological experiment.
Scary.
I mean, it could be turned into a Squid Game. That's why I say this kind of sounds like a Squid Game,
this
right?
Has nothing to do with
it kind of sounds like a Squid Game.
The writers for season two are like, write that down.
This literally has nothing to do with Squid Game.
Squid Game season two, Milgram's Experiment.
This has nothing to do with Squid Game.
I want to see Milgram's Experiment and Squid Game season
shock
two.
Game. But it's like actually a shock. But they actually die. Yeah.
No, but like, see, that's just goes to show how, you know, there's so many people who say like, I'm not gullible, but we all are to a certain degree, because I feel we constantly get told to do things that originally go against what we believe in, or, you know, are very easily persuaded by just someone, even if they don't have that much of an authoritative, you know, vibe about them, to just be like, oh, well, I mean, this person who in my mind is more authoritative about this particular subject than I am, is saying.
No,
so maybe
point, right?
I should,
you
know,
just trust them.
Yeah, like the whole fact that, you know, we have a literal audience of people who will probably change their mind about something we say on this show or something we say on our own channels. You know, seeing like, if I say so-and-so anime sucks, there's probably a number of people who are like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, he's probably right. Even though I have zero authority over that person, right? It's just scary because, and I know that happens because it's the opposite has happened to me as well, where
it happens to all of us.
Yeah, it happens to all of us, you know?
That's the reason why we have conflict. People are good at persuading people. Yeah. Like, it's like, you know?
I feel like we're just breaking down the most fundamental problem about humanity. It's like, you're not me, what?
We've had like three deep conversations on three episodes in a row now. This is deep taste now. This is like deep talk.
Deep taste.
I like why are you gonna word it
we
like
went,
that?
We went from shitting to this.
Why are you gonna word it like
deep taste, bro?
Is deep in fancy font?
Yeah.
Deep taste. I don't know why that sounds so gross.
It's not gross. Why? It's only gross to make it gross.
You guys played Metal Gear Solid 1?
No.
What?
Have you played Metal Gear Solid 1?
Yeah.
So, like, I never caught on to this as a kid, but remember when Snake gets a call from, like, a random person, you know? And at the time, you know, you don't know who it is. It's just static on screen. And then he tells Snake to call him, just call me Deep Throat. And I'm just like, how did I never register that as a kid?
What was the context? Why does he tell him to call him Deep Throat?
Because he has a deep voice. And that's the reason. And I'm just, as a kid playing that, I'm like, that's a cool name. Deep Throat.
It's like a dominatrix thing all over again. It's just gonna be another
thing. I'm like, Hideo Kojima, do you know what you're doing? Or do you just like, is your mind just built different,
man? He definitely planned that out for sure. He's like, he probably went around to everyone at Konami. Was like, check this out.
Maybe it was a mistranslation.
I came up with the best idea.
Maybe it was a mistranslation. Who knows?
If anything, it's probably not even a mistranslation. It's probably a direct translation because we don't call it that in Japanese. So it's probably like, to a Japanese audience, it was like, deep throat. It's like,
whoa, that sounds fucking cool.
Hell yeah, dude. Oh,
deep throat. Deep throat.
Kakoii.
Sound like Japanese Harry Potter, bro.
That is my favorite thing though, when they take like just ridiculous English words and just like directly say it in Japanese. And
yeah.
The Japanese think it's the coolest sounding thing ever, even though it sounds goofy as fuck in Japanese. I mean,
it's also just Hideo Kojima, you know?
Oh,
That man's on one.
Yeah, he's on one.
Oh, no.
Has any of you played Death Stranding yet?
No.
I really want to, and then I also really don't want to, you know what I mean? Because it's one of those games where I see so many clips out of context. I'm just like, I want to play this just to see this in context.
It is
the
first Stranlike type game.
I mean, I just couldn't fucking believe that the final cutscene is 2 hours.
Yeah, you have to understand, right? You guys know I don't like cutscenes. I can't. I actually like. I cannot play that game. Like I can just imagine
you getting to that final cutscene, and the moment you press the skip button, you miss about 5% of the game.
Can you even skip?
I can just imagine you starting the game, and you're just like, where's the gameplay start?
I would be the angriest live stream I'd probably ever have.
I would love to watch you play Death Stranding. I was going to say Deep Stranding.
Deep Stranding. I don't know. Like, it didn't look very good.
Donkey enjoyed it the third time he played it.
He's like the
most monkey brain
he's not. He has more patience than me.
Well, I mean, I think it says a lot that Donkey enjoyed a game like that.
Says a lot about Donkey.
When he enjoys Death Stranding, but he can't stand a single JRPG.
I understand though. JRPGs are mind-numbing.
I don't want to get to that topic.
Okay, we've already spoken about that like a million times. I don't want to. JRPG is bad.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Yeah, he agreed.
Yeah, sure. But like, yeah, I was saying like, I love like, you know, the whole thing about like Japanese, just like directly translating English names into Japanese and then the Japanese thinking it's cool. Like Harry Potter characters are a perfect example of that.
Okay.
Like Dumbledore, right? Really cool English name.
Yeah.
Dumbledore is not a cool name.
I kind of fuck with it.
I don't know. The first time, every time I hear a Harry Potter character said in a Japanese pronunciation, I'm just like, how did that sound 10 times goofier than the English name?
I can't think of Dumbledore now without thinking about the meme. Of like,
I can't either.
The Dumbledore said calmly.
Oh, yeah. Did you write your name in the goal on fire?
I am. That meme has physically ruined those movies for me. I literally cannot watch The Goblet of Fire. Like, because all I will be doing is waiting for that scene, and then I'll just.
And then the moment it gets to that scene, you just turn it off. Yeah, it's like, I'm satisfied.
I'm done.
I'll be like giggling away, and someone will be like, "What's wrong, Carl?" I'm like, "Nothing. You wouldn't understand.
He said it so calmly.
Yeah.
He said it so calmly.
That's kind of.
Didn't know there's this meme where, like, in the books, it's like Stephen Fry. Narrating it going, and Dumbledore said calmly, and then it cuts to the movie, like someone edited it, and then it's just Dumbledore going, "Did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire, Harry?" It's just like, it's so fucking dumb.
Did you put your name into the Goblet of Fire, Harry?
Harry, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire?
Please go and watch it. It's so good. Sorry.
It's kind of like the equivalent of you know, a trash taste viewer saying, and then Gant said he prefers bone on chicken. Calmly. cut to the trash taste clip.
Yeah, we've spoken a lot. I was having a discussion yesterday. We've spoken a lot about good Japanese food. Can we speak about Japanese food that fucking straight up sucks?
Be my guest.
First of all, what
do you think sucks?
You go to the izakaya, right? Your boys are ordering. You're all like ordering, right? You're getting gyoza. Gyoza's good. Mm-hmm. Right? You're getting maybe some yakiniku, right? Meat on a stick. Great.
Yakitori, you mean?
Yakitori, sorry. Yeah. You can get some yakiniku too, maybe. I don't know.
Add an izakaya. It's a fancy ass izakaya.
Yeah.
maybe you get some fried chicken with the boys. Yeah. Maybe someone orders something and you're like, oh, this is fried chicken, right? And you eat it. And you're like, why does it taste like bones?
Oh, it's tendons.
It's like cartilage.
They
for some reason, they're just like deep fried cartilage, and it's like the worst eating experience ever.
Oh, I love
that shit, dude. It's like, imagine greasy bones. It's literally greasy bones. That's what it feels like. It's like you're crunching a small animal's bones with oil. Yeah. Like, it's awful.
You got assert dominance.
I agree with you, Connor.
It's terrible.
It's fucking awful.
Put it there, Gunn.
There. Okay.
Gentlemen's agreement.
That's a historical moment right there, ladies and gentlemen. They agree on something.
It's so bad. Like, I don't know how you like it.
I used to hate it. What happened to you?
This is the man who will eat anything.
I understand you'll eat anything, but there has to be some dishes where you're like, I'll eat it, but like, it's kind of whack, right?
Olives.
What? Joey's like, fermented fish shit, chopped with fermented soybeans. Love it, can't get enough. But Joey's like, olives?
I do not like olives.
why?
Bro, Italians are crying right now.
Yeah. I mean, like, I like olive oil. I like olive on pizza, but like...
Why? What part? Is it the seed?
I think it's just too strong of a flavor.
You like olive oil?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't down a pint of olive oil on my spare time.
Italian, bro?
No, shocker.
Bro, you got that.
I am wearing a lot of like references to an Italian guy, but no, I'm not Italian.
I just came out of nowhere. Any kind of fucking fermented shit, but I draw the line. One green boy.
Joey, the man who tried like bird fetus, and I'm like, I kind of fuck with it.
Green and black?
Get that shit out of here.
When I say I don't like olives, it's not that if
green
I-
Green or black, both? Both?
Green, mostly, I don't. Yeah, like black olives I like, actually.
Green are stronger normally.
Yeah, green are a lot stronger. And it's like, and when I say I don't like olives, it's not that if I get a plate of green olives, I'm not going to eat it at all. Right?
Have you seen that clip? Sorry to interrupt, but I just have this image of Joey being that person where it's just a clip of like a talk show or something and the host goes, bring out the olives. And like they bring out a jar of olives and this woman just starts fucking loose.
No, it's the peaches, right?
No, it's olives. It's olives. Yeah.
I did not know this.
I saw another one of like this woman who had like a deathly like phobia towards peaches.
Oh, and I didn't see that one.
And like, it's like an Ellen show.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, so you're deathly afraid of peaches. And then she says like the scientific phobia word for someone who's afraid of peaches. And then behind them on the giant screen is just a picture of a peach. And this woman just screams out of the room. And the audience is laughing. I'm like, this is horrible. Yeah. She literally just said she doesn't like peaches.
I got shit.
Mary, you won't let go of me.
Oh, yeah.
Bring out the olives.
That's Joey. That's Joey.
I just imagine that. Just
no, okay.
Okay, sorry. Finish your point.
So my point was, when I say I don't like a food, there is very rarely a food that I will just straight up not eat. Like, when I say I don't like a food, I mean like, it wouldn't be my first choice of eating it, right? Yeah. But if I'm at like, you know, a house party or something, or like, you know, wine and cheese party, and I see some olives there, I'll fucking eat it because it comes with the thing, right? But if someone just gave me some fucking olives and was like, eat it now, and I'll be like,
I don't know why this makes me so angry when you say this, bro.
Nah, I mean, it's not my first choice. It's like, I can live the rest of my life not eating it. And
I'd rather eat olives than most izakaya food, I think. I've realized that. Honestly. Yeah.
Really?
I think now that I've lived in Japan for a year, I've kind of come to like, not really like izakaya foods because like
it's very limited.
Weaves are crying right now.
I remember when I first moved to Japan, I thought I would never get fucking bored of this.
Yeah.
And now 2 years in, I'm just like, can I have a proper meal please? Like,
yeah, it just kind of suck because sometimes you just want to like, you want to eat healthy, but it's impossible at the izakaya.
Oh yeah. I think before anyone starts to think so, I don't go to an izakaya like every fucking day. Like I'm also like to the point now where I'm like, I could go an entire month without eating izakaya food.
Yeah, easily.
You know, it's like,
I mean,
but,
we have.
Yeah. But like every now and then, you know, if I go to an izakaya with some mates, then I'll eat the food there.
Cause,
but, you know,
cause
it's not going to be the greatest meal of my life.
Because the issue is, right? So let's say, you know, British drinking culture, you know, you have a meal and then you have the drinks, right?
Yeah.
And I thought what's cool about the izakaya is that there is a whole eating culture around it where you go to izakaya and you have a meal there and you can drink, shocker, at the same time. And so I realized that most izakaya food is just basically snacks.
Yeah.
So you're having a meal basically just on like snacks, it's not like a meal, but it's still enough to fill you up. And I never go to an izakaya and get like satisfied with the meal. You know, it's always just, it always feels like you just ate like a bag of like Doritos or something and that was like your meal for the day.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it feels like. Yeah.
You don't come out of an izakaya going, I had a great meal. You come out full.
Yeah. You come out feeling disgusting and you come out like, I don't know, man.
There's so many foods at them that are just like, this is bad.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what fish it is, but it's just a toenail. Like it's literally a toenail. Like it's
he's talking about the thing Aki always orders?
Yeah.
What is it? What the fuck are they called?
The skate fin?
Skate fin, is it? I just call them flat flaps. What are they called?
Oh, the stingrays?
Stingrays. Yeah, or the rays.
Stingrays.
Not stingrays, just rays.
Rays.
Flap flaps. Okay, and the ones that fly like this,
right? It's like they bring this out, right? It looks like a toenail, right? It looks
Steve Irwin like fucking rolling in his grave.
Steve Irwin died from a poisonous flap flap.
It's like this. Oh, it's God. Like this fucking toenail-esque looking thing, right? Mm. And it's like, what is it? Dried?
It's dried stingray or so dried ray.
It
yeah.
comes out and you have it and you're like, it literally tastes like nothing. It doesn't taste of anything.
What do you mean? It tastes like fish.
It doesn't even taste like fish. It tastes like nothing. And it's just chewy, really hard. And it's like, why? Why are they storing?
But that's most like dried fish snacks here. That's just,
some are way
same
more
with like the shredded, like the shredded fish as well. And like
the, I like the squid.
The squid stuff.
Squid game. The fried squid or
it's
like
kind of like
the
a squid game.
Fried squid. Because you can go to the combini and get like 20 different variations of squid. Yeah. Squid tastes good. I like squid.
I like
it's
squid.
Good.
Yeah, squid's
but,
good.
But you know, and then there's another thing that's like, I don't know what it is. It's like this, it's like octopus. It's gooey. It's got like.
Oh, takwasa?
Yeah, that stuff is. Oh,
it's like the it's octopus poor. With wasabi. You just put it in a blender.
Oh, it's rough. Oh,
yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah,
I love it.
Oh, it's rough. Oh, it's so rough. And Joey, of course, the first time I came here, made me fucking eat it. And it was terrible. And then like half the menu you look at, you're like, yeah. I'm not ordering fish semen.
We talked about fish semen yet. What's it called again?
No. The fish, it's the sperm sack.
It's the sperm sack. Shirako. Shirako.
That's awful. Yeah, it's awful.
Fucking awful.
I love it.
And the thing is, every Japanese person will order shirako for you to like try out. But no one's going to tell you what it is until you take your first bite.
Yeah. Man. I'm pretty sure that's what I did with you two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
It was fucking hilarious. This episode is sponsored by Manscaped.
Ho, 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 gentlemen. The holidays came early here at Manscaped.
What's wrong with that? Manscaped just launched new products, including their all-new Ultra Premium TM Body Wash and 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner. It's time to give yourself, or somebody who needs it, God, the gift of beautiful skin, hair, and balls this holiday season. So go to manscaped.com and use this code TRASHTASTE for 20% off plus free shipping.
Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past, and it's possible you have Santa's beard in your pants, if you know what I'm saying. It's time to leave your significant other some cookies and milk at the bottom of your chimney. Of course, I am talking about the Manscaped TM Performance Package 4.0. Look at this beauty.
Ooh, damn!
Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower TM 4.0. This electric trimmer has proprietary advanced skin-safe TM technology to reduce cuts to your nuts.
It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. It's a great gift for your partner with less mess.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code TRASHTASTE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code TRASHTASTE. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year.
Thank you to Manscaped for sponsoring us this episode. Back to the video.
I hope Santa used Manscaped. Yeah, I prefer anything other than that sperm sack. It's not that it's a sperm sack, it's that it tastes like shit. If sperm sacks tasted good, I'd chow down on one. I don't know. I got no reservation.
He's a JoJo fan. Just,
yeah. Yeah, bro, he's used to drinking
sperm. It's practically my job, man. Like, you know.
The thing with shirako, though, is like, it's the same thing with me. It's like, I like it.
Which fish is it from, by the way?
I couldn't tell you. One of them. But it's like
who did this? These are some foods I'm like, who?
The Japanese man, like,
who opened this fish up, saw like the reproductive organ, was like, bruh, you're gonna eat that?
Yeah, but Japan is a country that's like, oh, this fish is poisonous. Bet. And then they spend the next 100 years like, okay, training to eat the tiny little part that tastes like nothing.
Do you like sea urchin?
Yes.
Oh, I don't like sea urchin, right?
You don't?
And then I don't. It's really strong flavor.
To be fair, sea urchin is like one of the most
strong.
Like
it's not a strong
it's
flavor.
It's very strong.
Sea urchin is one of the most like polarizing sushi, I think.
It's like the wasabi of fish. It's like it feels like a gas attack went off in your mouth.
Really?
What are you talking about?
For me, yeah.
It's literally called the butter of the sea. It's smooth as fuck.
It's so strong.
What are you actually talking
genuinely,
about?
I don't think
it's
you ate
such a strong
sea
flavor.
Urchin.
I have. I had sea
you
urchin.
Sure you just didn't eat wasabi?
No. I had sea urchin because they crack.
You know you eat the inside of the sea urchin, right? The outside.
This is what happened. Is that the reason why I didn't understand what
like,
sea
ow.
I didn't understand what sea urchin was.
Yeah.
I was like, why is it a paste? That's weird. Until I went to a place where they like cracked that bad boy open in front of me and scooped it out. And I was like,
mouth watering right now.
Connor, I can only get so erect. Come on.
I had reservations against it. I'd had sea urchin before. I wasn't a fan. You know, it's a cool name.
Yeah.
One of the coolest fish's names out there in English.
Yeah.
Sea urchin.
Sea urchin. It sounds like some Norse god. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, like salmon. I sleep, bro. Yeah. Sea urchin.
Yeah.
It's like something died to make this fish, right? So they crack it open. And, you know, again, like with wasabi, I don't typically like wasabi at like the the kind of horse, it's horseradish. It's horseradish wasabi. I'm not a big fan of it, but then, you know, when I went to a place and they gave real wasabi, I was like, okay, I'll give it a chance. It was insanely different. Amazing. Actually amazing. If you don't like wasabi, try the real stuff. It's insanely expensive, but if you get a chance, I don't know how it just came up.
You're not going to get a chance.
No, it's I don't know how it's it came expensive. Up. It was just in a course, and they just brought it out, and they were like, "You grind it." I'm like, "I don't know what I'm
doing." It's very expensive.
It's like, ask me to grind a diamond. So, I you know, they crack it open, they put it on. I'm like, okay, I try it. It tastes like shit still. I couldn't enjoy it, and I wanted to like it so badly.
What is it that you don't like about it? Because I've given sea urchin to a bunch of friends who've come here because I'm like whenever friends come over and they say I want to go eat some real sushi, quote unquote. I'm like, all right, but you have to be open to trying some shit that you're not gonna get.
Oh please,
thank you.
I'm like, okay, I'll take you to a sushi place, but you have to be open to not just trying a fucking California roll. Like, you have to try, like, some weird shit. So are you prepared for that? And I always give them sea urchin, and it's like, so far, I think with my group of friends, it's been a 50-50. Half of them love it, and the other half say that it's, like, too fishy.
I think the problem with sea urchin is that it's really easy to get bad quality sea urchin.
It's notoriously, like, one of the fish that can make you, like, sick.
I've had bad sea urchin before, and it tastes bad, you know. But like, if it's like really good quality sea urchin, like the freshest shit,
it's like oyster. Like bad oyster is really bad, but good oyster is like.
What I love about sea urchin is that it literally, I don't know how I can describe it, but it literally feels like you are eating the sea. That's kind of what it feels like to me, right?
No.
Pollution and all.
I agree.
The whole of it. Oh, shit.
No, fine. Because it's like, it's fishy, but it also has like a salty texture to it. Yeah.
And it's a little bit sweet. It's like really good sea urchin. It's kind of like downing some seawater, but it tastes actually nice. It's really weird.
I've never heard somebody describe it in such an unappetizing way.
It's like if you could take the essence of the sea and put it into a food, that would be sea urchin.
No. Yeah, see, Malin agrees. Malin's a real one.
Malin's a real one.
Malin is just inclined to disagree with me. Malin's on a professional basis. You know, when I go to like a sushi restaurant where the sushi chef, did you call it a sushi chef? Sushi goes to masters. You know, when you go to restaurants where, because you know, you can go to the conveyor belt ones, which are good too, really cheap, really easy, really nice. Or you can go to ones where it's like a course. And you sit in front of it. And at lunch menu, it's normally pretty cheap in Japan. Pretty good. And when I've gone there, always when sea urchin comes up, I do first of all, I never ever waste the sushi, especially if the guy's right there. I wouldn't dare be like, no, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that is like a sin. Like you cannot look this man in the eye who spent 20 years.
I think I'd rather like slap his wife in the face and refuse a sushi. Honestly, right?
So like the sea urchin comes out. And the thing is, sometimes if it's a really small restaurant, they watch you. They watch you eat it because they want to hear you say like, oh, it's amazing.
That is good,
And I don't mind because most of the time, shit slaps. And I'm like, oh, there's another one. This is a good one. Oh, keep it coming.
He don't miss.
Oh, this is good. Ooh, that mackerel. Oh. And he's like, bring out the next one. I'm like, I'm ready. Oh, it's sea urchin. Okay. All right, well, I'll get the water ready. Get the green tea ready. I just like put it all in one and I'm like, Oishi.
Because most places like that, they tell you beforehand what fish you like and what fish you don't like.
Bro, I shit's going so fast. I don't even know what they're saying half the time.
Oh, okay. So life hack for people coming to Japan.
I don't even know, what's the sea urchin name in Japanese? I forgot.
Uni,
that's it. Uni, yeah.
So most places that aren't conveyor belt sushi and it's like a set course, the chef will usually, if it's a good restaurant, they'll come out and tell you, what fish do you not like? Because they're not going to fucking waste it on someone who doesn't like it.
I'm wasting this man's ingredients.
So next time, just say like, no uni. And they'll be like,
part of me is I pay for this course, I'm eating this. I don't even give a fuck if I don't like it. I'm eating this. I want to show full appreciation to this guy and his craft.
You can by telling them that like, I'm not going to eat this fish.
There's no bigger compliment than me being like, boss man, the rest of this food is banging. You have faith in this.
If I was a chef, I'd rather you just straight up tell me what fish you don't want.
I don't know, man. I'm too British.
Sitting there and watching you go,
I don't no. I wouldn't dare pull a face, bro. It's mild discomfort before. The moment I put it in my mouth, a stone cold face.
I kind of had that with Shirako as well.
Yeah, where, you got it. Like, yeah. As a British person, it is not. It's not an option to be like, I don't want that, or like,
really,
that. Yeah. It's so like, I don't know.
Like I remember because I was in this restaurant, and we missed the fact that Shirako was part of the course because it was like this 7-course meal.
The sperm sack, right?
Yeah, it was a sperm sack, and in this hotel we were staying at, we missed the part that was Shirako there, and they put it in front of us with me and Sydney, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh no, it's this thing, right? And Sydney doesn't know what it is, and I'm just like,
let her eat it. I'm just like,
do I tell her or do I not? And I'm a loving partner. I did tell her.
No,
right?
You shouldn't have, because she's not going to eat it.
She's 100%. Not going to eat it.
Yeah, I thought she was like me, right? I thought she'd be like, you know what? I'll still eat it because it's Japanese culture. I want to show respect, right? And she's like, I'm not fucking eating it.
Throws the chopsticks on the ground.
So this was after me psyching myself up, right? Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, I can deep throat this. I'm a deep throat this fucking sperm sack right now.
My favorite Metal Gear Solid character.
Metal Gear Solid music is playing in this man's ear. Dun 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 dun.
Guy just turns to Sydney and goes, call me deep throat.
So I'm just like, I take it, I like swallow it in one.
Wait, isn't it like a string? Like, isn't it like a bunch?
Yeah, it's like a bunch, right? Yeah. So.
Well, it's like swallowing a fallopian tube.
So it is like a bunch, but like I found a way to like fucking expand my throat. I channeled all my inner JoJo fandom at that point, man. I'm just like, I'm a deep throat this in one. And I fucking didn't like, all right, it's done. Sydney, all right, you do yours. And she's like, have it. I'm like, Sydney, eat it. I'm like, I'm not gonna fucking eat it. I'm like, you wanna tell the people I'm not gonna eat it? I'm like, I'm not telling the people. We're gonna finish our fucking food. Yeah. We're not gonna show disrespect. And she was like, do it. You can do it. And I'm just like, no, I'm not gonna do it. And it was just like a fucking game of chicken.
Sydney, do it.
Sydney, eat the sperm sack. Can't you eat it? And in the end, I'm just like, fine, I'll fucking do it. And on that day, I deep throated 2 fish sperm sacks.
Bro, you took 2 loads of them out.
That's a PB, bro. Yeah. You
know? And I never want to do it again. Because you know what? That shit did not sit right in my stomach, man.
But okay, here's the question though. Are you the type of person who gets conceptually grossed out by food?
No. I don't, just off the premise alone, I won't ever have like a yes or no answer to eating.
Right. So if I never told you ever that Shirako was sperm.
It's slimy. It's too slimy. I can't do
it's
slimy.
Too,
that's the problem.
It's too creamy. And it has this really weird aftertaste that is what like set my stomach off.
It's creamy.
Huh?
It's creamy?
Yeah, it was creamy. It was really creamy. That's the Shirako, surprisingly, is really, really fucking creamy.
It's creamy. It's viscous. It's
okay. Yes. You know what? The taste and the texture of Shirako is exactly what you think it is.
Yeah.
What can I say? It's creamy. It's slimy. It's viscous. What?
Shirako's just the fancy name. It's fish nut.
I can, the thing that I have just realized is my weakness is slime. Like anything that is slimy, I really struggle
with. You're
not
the first person though. Right? Like 100%. Yeah.
And I don't know, like clearly I just haven't been raised to eat slimy things. Like I never had slimy things in my life.
Yeah,
I wish I did because I feel like I've been debuffed.
But that's the thing. Like that's why I don't blame anyone who doesn't like things like okra or natto or shirako or anything like that. Yeah. Because if you didn't grow up with that shit, it's like eating snot.
So to me, it is like too close to the consistency of snot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like when you go to a real semen. Right. Right, we get it, Garn. You deep throat. You deep throat two sperm sacks, right? So when you go to a ryokan, right? Yeah. You get a meal, like a set meal in Japan, right? You get a lot of food. And it's always like, so I'm gonna just call it like levels, not courses. Mm-hmm. It's like level 1 through 3, right? It's always the most painful because it's always cold and it's always slimy food that comes first. I don't know why they've done this. It's like they're trying to like-
Not all of it is slimy.
Okay, some of it's slimy.
Yeah.
I've been to some places where they were like, for some reason, some guy woke up and was like, every meal must have slime. Like I went to one ryokan and I was like, every meal, I was like, I can't wait for the next one. I wonder what it will be. Turns out more slime stuff. And I'm like, come on, I can't get a win, man. But like always, there's at least like, you get like 4 little dishes. Mm. 2 of them will be cold, jelly or slimy, guaranteed. I don't know why. I don't know why they're obsessed with putting slimy stuff.
Japan is weirdly obsessed with jelly.
They're like a Nickelodeon kid, bro. It's like they have more slime than them. I don't understand.
The Japanese are the only ones who watch Nickelodeon Guts and went, looks delicious.
Yeah, yeah. They're like seeing this Nickelodeon slime being poured out. Like, fuck, they're wasting so much food.
Eat it. Yeah, I don't know. It's like we do have like very traditional Japanese foods are either slimy or gelatinous.
And it's a shame because I really want to give it a good go, and I eat it most of the time, but with much pain, with great difficulty.
Yeah. And again, I feel that I absolutely do not blame anyone who doesn't like that side of Japanese cuisine, because it is a tall hurdle, especially if you weren't raised on it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right, like I feel I can confidently say that I would not like natto or okra or, you know, anything gelatinous or anything like that if I didn't grow up with it.
Yeah.
Just because the first time you put it in your mouth, it's like, this shouldn't be in my mouth. This should be up someone's nose. You know, it is discomforting at times.
It's weird because it's like something. I'm like, no, something grilled. Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Mm-hmm. No. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I mean, I like cold things. It's just cold, slimy things. You know, that's just.
But and normally things that I don't like.
Or what's worse, like a hot slimy thing or a cold slimy thing?
Can you get a hot? I guess you can get a hot slimy thing.
What's hot slimy thing? What is a hot slimy thing dish?
You put natto in a microwave?
that just like accentuates the fucking smell. That sounds horrible. Yeah. Oh my God. Can you imagine microwaving natto?
You do, isn't it?
Like you
natto,
do.
Do you?
It's like a microwave packs, right?
Yeah, because it comes frozen, so you have to microwave it.
Bruh, you better like.
Been that. Frozen natto?
What?
Frozen natto?
Maylene's angry because someone bought frozen natto.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah, that's why I put it in a microwave, Maylene.
Maylene is really angry. Maylene is really angry that Jerry bought.
Something has just set Maylene off.
I've never heard Maylene interrupt an episode. No,
that is the first time I've heard Maylene interrupt. If she wants to interrupt, she'll hold a sign that says incest, but microwave natto, that's where she draws the line.
That's where she has to step in. I'm gonna let you finish.
Man, fuck. I wish I liked natto.
I wish I did.
Why?
Because it's like healthy food, right?
I want to be able to like-
It is extremely healthy.
I want to get in on that. Yeah. I want to like, you know, that's the thing is that, it sucks. Most of these like gelatinous or slimy dishes are so goddamn healthy.
Yeah,
it's very
healthy. And they have so much good stuff here. I'm like, damn, I wish I could-
How'd you feel about insects then?
I thought you were about to say incest.
God's question to you, Connor. How do you feel about incest?
Speaking of slimy things.
Insects, that water bug smelt vile. You know,
but that's because it was vile.
I have no qualms about eating it. Like, I'll try it.
But you didn't try it.
Yeah, you didn't try it.
Yeah, I did.
If I had to, I'll try it. I'm not going to like it, but I'll try it.
But when Garn had to do the forfeit and I was like, let me try it, you didn't try it.
You're like,
I'm not going to if I don't need to.
You literally just said, if given the opportunity, I will try it.
If I was in a spot where you're like, Connor, on this course is a locust, just a sandwich of locust. I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. But if it's
what's the difference between that and you, someone next to you having a water bug? And
it might be the only time.
Social pressure. What do you mean? The reason why most people make most mistakes in their life. Social pressure.
So basically, it's the British in you who is incapable of saying no.
100%.
And in front of someone.
100%.
And you'd rather just do it even though you're like uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, God, no. I'd rather eat my own toenail than appear socially awkward for more than 4 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a question in my mind. Like, there's something about table manners that I think that is, I don't know, it's very British, isn't it? I don't know.
People, it is very British.
There's something about not being rude at the table especially is like very, like big in my mind that I'm like, you cannot be rude at a table.
Is that a British thing or is that just like a sensible thing?
I don't know.
Because in my head, like, I'm not British, but I have the exact same thought of like, don't be rude at the dinner table.
Like, but like doing things like correctly as well. Like, I don't know. Whenever I meet like friends, parents or stuff, I'll always make like quadruple sure I'm like giga polite.
And I'm like that as well.
It doesn't matter what they put on my plate. If I'm dying, I will eat it to, you know, but. Yeah.
I don't think that's a British, I think this is common sense.
Well, right? I mean, British.
No, I mean, okay. It's more like, okay, say you're at a restaurant and the waiter is rude or the waiter makes the wrong order or the waiter, you know, or something happens in that restaurant experience that is unpleasant. Mm. Do you say something to the waiter? Do you call management?
No.
It depends how bad.
That is my least favorite thing is making a scene in a restaurant.
That is the
one thing you will never catch me.
There's nothing will make me dislike a person more than if they're like have a complaint that I feel is like completely invalid and they're getting a waiter over to like, do something.
Like if you're getting the waiter over, you like someone better like shit on your fucking dish, you know? That better be something wrong with the fucking
dish.
Yeah,
I have like a limit. Okay. Like if there's more flies in my soup than soup, then yeah, I'll obviously fucking say something, but.
You get a meal, right? Yeah. There's a hair in your food.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Just take the hair out.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, same here.
You just, because
in my head, I'm like, okay, I'll call the waiter, right? Yeah. I'll say to the waiter, there's a hair in my soup. The fuck's the waiter going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know, in some
parts- Be like, oh, my bad, let me get it for you.
As much as I want to be like, okay, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't lie. It makes me slightly uncomfortable eating the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's part of the dining experience.
But I mean, that is that once you find a hair in your soup, that's it. There's no going back. There's no saving the fact that there is hair in your soup.
Calling the waiter isn't going to make the situation better.
All right, POV, another scenario, right?
Okay.
You're at the dinner table. Two of you have hair in your food.
Yeah.
Now what? Both of you put it out, or that I feel like that ups the ante a little.
I'll just look, being like, oh, my hair's a little bit longer, and just make like a joke out of it.
Also, it depends on like the restaurant, right? Sometimes you have these kind of.
I'm at McDonald's, bro. I'm just buying another burger. I'm not gonna ask them.
But sometimes you're at a restaurant and the restaurant's busy as fuck, and you're just like, well, this doesn't excuse it, but it's gonna be more effort to call someone over and complain about it than just try and. Enjoy this
if it's like
meal.
An empty restaurant and I'm the only one in there and there was a hair in my soup or whatever, like something horrible happened, then maybe I might call the waiter because I know that the waiter is more free. But if it's a packed restaurant, I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, stop everything you're doing. I have a hair in my soup. I'm not going to do
that. There's sometimes, right?
Yeah.
You know, a pretty common mistake. The waiter gets your order wrong.
Yeah.
Now, do you say that they got your order wrong, or do you just eat the food and just, you know, be sad that they got your order wrong? It depends. If you waited 15, 20 minutes for the food, you're like, excuse me, I got the wrong food, unfortunately. Yeah. If you're like at some of these restaurants where you're like there for half an hour to 45 minutes, you're just like, I am not waiting another fucking half an hour. I'm just going to eat this food and leave a bad review and just be done with
it. There's that heavily depends on me. It's like, okay, how different is this to what I ordered? Right? Like, if we're talking, I ordered the like $50 steak and they bring out a $10 appetizer, that's your meal? Hold up.
But if it's like a $50 steak versus like a $45 burger, then I'll be like, you know what? Maybe I was in the mood for a burger.
It's not inherently value. It's more like, do I feel like proportionally I'm getting something that I would also enjoy and is also of the same capacity?
Yeah.
You know, if I order the steak or a burger and you bring out the day of the soup of the day or whatever, we are not the same.
Then we have a fundamental problem. Also,
another thing is like, are you with a group of friends as well? Because, you know, sometimes it happens. Sometimes someone gets the order wrong, right? And you have to like, wait for that guy to also get his order and then finish his food. And then like, at that point, you're not enjoying the meal because everyone's sitting there staring at you to fucking finish your meal because everyone's already finished. And I'm just like, that's-
Yeah, it's true.
That's, I don't know. It's, that these are all the things to consider whether
just,
to like-
Just read the room, you know? And you'll know if it's like right to call the waiter or not, right?
And the British way is 99% out of like 100, 99 out of 100 times, you don't call the waiter over. You just sit down and deal with it.
Yeah.
And then you set the restaurant on fire afterwards or whatever.
Yeah, easy, just don't go back to that restaurant. Right?
Back when you were like single, right? If you could go on a date, would you eat stuff like wings in front of your date? Like stuff that gets like a little messy.
Yeah,
you would like no fucks given.
No.
Okay, I thought so.
Why?
I just wanted to make sure.
Do I seem like a guy to not eat wings in front of my?
You seem like you.
I would.
You would eat wings.
I'd eat wings off the ground in front of my.
And then be
day.
Like totally oblivious to the fact that she's like, bro, he looks like a toddler. Like Joey's just like,
do you like me?
Joey's like bibbed up, like fucking sauce all over, and Joey's like, so what do you do for a job? Like you strike me as that kind of guy.
We need like a fucking alignment chart of like trash members of Trash Taste. Who would eat wings in front of their date?
I'm like on the far end of the spectrum, being like, yes, I would absolutely. Like, I don't give a fuck who you are. If I'm in the mood for wings, bro, I'm eating fucking wings.
Orders, like Connor orders wings and doesn't eat it.
So I'm just here to enjoy the smell.
At best, I would get a tissue and hold the end of it, and very like a hamster almost. Just trying to like get the meat off without making like lip contact.
Gone.
No, for me, I'll give him
gone,
like...
Gone, breaks out the knife and fork to eat wings.
I would try and do that too. But then I would get frustrated and I'd be like, tissue time. We'll get a tissue on the sauce on the end. And I'll just try.
Meanwhile, the most common courtesy I'll give to my date is I'll give them a word of warning beforehand, being like, can I start eating these wings? All right, cheers. Oh!
I feel like I've definitely had an experience where I've been eating something with a knife and fork, and then I've had like a mental breakdown. I'm like, listen, I can't do this. I'm just gonna eat it with my hand. Are you okay with that? It might get a little messy, right? Yeah. I'm doing it. Fuck you.
I mean, I'm fine eating my wings with a knife and fork. I actually prefer to eat a lot of wings with a knife and fork.
Yeah. What? How can you get in there and get all the shit off?
That is like chaos.
I've perfected the technique, right?
What is this, some anime fucking power move? What is this?
I've been eating wings all my life. And sometimes, sometimes I just don't like getting my hands dirty. Sometimes, you know, something, especially with like wings that have a lot of sauce in it, right?
Yeah.
You have some wings with a lot of sauce in it. You don't get that smell off your fingers, even if you like wash it off.
I love that.
It feels sticky. No matter if you go to the toilet, you wash your hands with soap, you'll have that like feeling.
It reminds me of a good time, right? When I
sticky fingers.
Yeah, that meal was good.
Hell, it's disgusting. When I get a little bit of sauce on my face, I'm like, all right, now the shackles are off. There's no holding back. I'm going all in. I'm not holding back. I don't care how much mess gets on my face anymore.
Look, man, I say if the girl gets put off by the fact that you got some fucking wing sauce on your face, yeah, she wasn't right for you to begin with, bro.
It's true.
Oh, if you're a JoJo fan, if the guy gets put off,
the best girl will be like, I still like him, even though he eats like a fucking animal. Just saying. Find the run that's right for you, gentlemen.
What's weird is that so when I'm eating, obviously, I was always told it was rude to put your elbows on the table. Is that something you were told as
yes.
well?
Yes.
That's what I was told. I wasn't told that.
Oh my God, gone.
Maybe I was, and I just didn't.
Like, if you're eating, you know, like this.
Like, yeah, that's rude.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I've just never done that. So,
gone's like, I was born civilized.
I eat with my elbows.
I was told in Japan that it's. So I would always like, what I do is normally if I'm eating with like just a fork or something, I just like keep my hand on my like lap or something.
Yeah.
Yes. And in Japanese cuisine, you have to put your hand on.
Yeah,
your
I was told it in Japan it's rude.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you could be like, something to do with like old, back in the day with concealed weapons or something.
Put your lap?
No, so I would, when I eat, right, I've got my hand like this and I got my hand down here.
Yeah.
Right, under the table.
Yeah.
Or like on my whatever. Like.
Yeah.
But I was told that it's rude to do that in Japan.
Really?
You have to have your hand like this while you eat, yes, like on the table.
I constantly got told by my mom to put my hand on my table because, it goes back to that whole thing of back in the old age where like if you had your hand under the table, then you could hide a concealed weapon.
Yeah.
And you could just... So when you're eating with
a
someone,
modern problem,
yeah, sure. Not a modern problem, obviously, but like modern. that's why you're seeing a lot of like scenes in anime or Japanese TV or like old movies and stuff like that. That's why the other hand, they're usually holding the rice bowl or holding a bowl or having their hand on the table because of that whole tradition. I don't know why. It's not really a modern problem nowadays, but
well, it's like having tattoos in Japan are like indicative of the Yakuza, right?
Supposedly, even though it didn't start with the Yakuza, it started with firefighters.
What?
Yeah. So when I interviewed the ex-Yakuza member, he obviously we got onto the topic of tattoos, right?
Yeah.
Because the guy's fucking covered in tats. And he told me that originally firefighters during the Edo period would get tattooed. And I was like, why firefighters? Wow. And it's like, so that if they die in a fire, it's easy to identify the body.
Oh God.
And I'm like, and it's like they put it in there.
That took a fucking turn.
Yeah. And I'm like, that took a fucking dark turn. But then he put it into perspective being like, it's also just a matter of like you having that tattoo back in the older days, that was an honor because that just showed, that was undying proof that you are doing a very dangerous job to save other people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, and for some reason, over the course of time, with the Yakuza and like how you'd get tattooed when you'd enter jail and stuff like that, as a mark, it just slowly turned into like a negative connotation to the point where now today, any Japanese person with like a fucking little tiny star tattoo on the back of their palm is considered a Yakuza member, And it's like, it's just so, and it's gone to the point where like you can't enter, obviously Hot Springs is like a common one, but you can't even enter like public pools. You can't go to some beaches if you have tattoos.
Yeah, my gym, like I mentioned, was Anytime Fitness, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't go to gym.
And the only sign on the wall that is in English is, dear all international members, not even like Japanese, dear all international members, please cover up any tattoos that you might be showing.
And it's like, and it's weird because it's like, you know, think about it logically. Just because you have a tattoo, it doesn't mean that person is a fucking psychopath or a yakuza. It's that whole mental image of, oh, they're such a bad person because they put some fucking ink in their body that, you know, it's this weird stipulation of tattoo equals yakuza now.
Yeah.
Which is so dumb. So especially when it comes, the one I don't understand is when that same rule applies to foreigners here.
Yeah, that is kind of odd.
Yeah. And I'm like, you do realize Yakuza is like a Japan thing only, right, guys? Like,
it says a lot about Japanese society.
Says a lot about Japanese society.
It says a lot about society.
It says a lot about the absolute state of Japanese society.
Say a lot about society. This meme wasn't funny, yet here he is giggling away to himself saying it. How the tables have turned.
It's because we've said
we know
about
what this episode is going to be called now.
5 million
this,
times.
This is what I'm saying. When the memes that aren't funny become funnier, the more you just keep saying it.
Yeah.
Squid Game. So he just laughed. He just laughed.
No, but like,
it's
but
pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
But like the Yakuza guy was saying that it's
what? He's just laughing at Squid Game.
The Yakuza guy was just saying that he put it into like really interesting. I mean, I asked him like, "What do you think about the whole tattoo stigma?" Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Oh, it's fucking stupid."
Yeah. It's
like because the whole point of a Yakuza tattoo is we put in tattoos not to show people but to conceal it. It's like a massive difference. The people who want to show tattoos, that's got nothing to do with fucking Yakuza. Because Yakuza isn't going to go around fucking being like, check out my tats, bro. Like, they don't do that.
Mm.
And until Japanese people understand that, I don't think the stigma's ever going to go away. I'd like to think it's starting to go away because young people now in Japan are getting tats and they don't give a fuck.
Right? Rod, do you think the new generation of Japan are more open to the idea of like, you know, foreigners and just, you know, things like ideas like
tats? Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I mean, Japan has been Americanized for decades now, almost centuries now. And yeah, but like, I feel it's only just recently where they, you know, look at, you know, American celebrities and singers with, you know, who are covered in tats and they go, if they can do that, maybe we can do that too. Yeah. Who the fuck knew that maybe just because you have a fucking Justin Bieber tattoo, it doesn't make you a Yakuza member?
Yeah, because like most of our exposure to like Japanese society comes from the older generation, right? Because they have all the power in government.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I actually have no idea about what the youths in Japan are like thinking and, you know, how much of an effect.
I mean, you walk down, you know, Shinjuku or Shibuya any time of the day or night and you'll see young people in covered in tats all the time. You know, Japanese people covered in tats all the time.
I know this is kind of off topic, but I remember like someone told me that when Avengers came out, right? Mm-hmm. And you do press tours.
Yeah.
Apparently it was really difficult for Robert Downey Jr. to come here because he had a criminal record in the US.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, okay, I mean, I get it, but like, I mean.
But he's not doing it now?
Yeah, it's like, all right. It just kind of shows that it's like, there's no room for, but I mean, I think other countries are similar as well. If you have a criminal record, they won't let you in. But it's just kind of like,
But Japan is definitely the type of country where you make one mistake, you are dead to the world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, shocking. it doesn't matter how much you do to try and redeem it or try and like change your image that you're a better person, you're a fixed person now.
Mm-hmm.
You make one mistake, you're fucked.
But it's the one thing that is really worrying is that like a lot of the laws and like punishments specifically sound surrounded in like creep crimes, I'll say. Like the
crimes,
you know, like being a chican or being a pervert or being caught like taking pictures of people in places. Punishment, have you seen how little you have to pay?
Some
of them are like $20 fines.
Like
$20, what's the point? That's a Saturday night out with the boys.
Not even
do that.
They have so many stalkers here because
it's
just
so bad.
You just face no repercussions for stalking someone. It's actually terrifying.
It's because, unfortunately, in a lot of cases in Japan, if it's not physical harm that is a result of the crime, then it's not even considered. Like, they don't take into consideration that, you know, you can be mentally scarred from a crime and that's still having real life repercussions because they just think, oh, but did he touch you? Did he stab you? Did he hurt you in any way? Mm. Oh, then then you'll get over it. Yeah. It's like, well, no, because some people don't fucking get over it. Like, yeah. It's pretty fucking traumatizing for some young women to get, you know, creeped on, getting their photos taken, most likely being leaked on the internet without them knowing.
Yeah.
And then for the fucking law system to turn around and go, yeah, you'll get over it.
It's fucked up because nearly every single Japanese woman I spoke to had some horrible experience of someone being a pervert.
Nearly every Japanese woman and pretty much every foreign woman as well.
Yeah.
Has had a creepy experience. I'm pretty sure Sydney has some as well.
Yeah. Aki's definitely had some and it's horrible.
It's actually like terrifying and it's fucked up and I don't know how to change it because it's not even our country to change, you know?
I mean,
it was so weird for me hearing the first time you go to Japan and if you buy a phone in Japan, there is no silent option when you take a picture.
Yep.
If you buy a phone in Japan, no matter what handset it is, if it's a Japanese handset, you cannot turn off the sound
of the
shutter when it takes a picture.
I mean, my phone is that, right?
Yeah, like,
my phone's on silent right now.
Right.
Yeah. That made just like that doo-doo
sound. Yeah, yeah.
And like, in many ways, you hear about that in isolation. You think, well, that's good. You know, you're protecting people. But it's like, what did it take for it to get to that point where we had to then keep the shutter on? Like, how rampant was it? And like, you know, the fact that Japan, as far as I know, is one of the only countries on earth that has widespread adoption of female-only cars.
Yeah. Only during a certain time, though.
Right. Like,
which I feel completely takes away the point of a female-only car, if you ask me. Because it's like, oh, then I just have to avoid these times.
I'm sure other countries that women would welcome that. Yeah. But it's like you know, for it to be done have to be done says a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, about society. And I wouldn't, like me personally, I wouldn't want to raise a daughter in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be scared to death of like letting her go on the train or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, I think the other problem as well is like, it's that a lot of the parents here as well, and not that I'm trying to tell Japanese parents how to be parents, but like, you know, considering I'm not one myself, but I think the problem is that a lot of the parents also just don't teach their daughters how what to do during those situations, right? They're like, I feel like you ask any American parent or just Western parent, you know, like if their daughter were to get into a horrible situation like that, to, you know, like teach them some self-defense or, you know, like try and defend themselves in any way that they possibly can, you know, to make a statement to be like, I'm not fucking afraid of you. Like, back off, right?
Yeah.
In Japan, though, they don't do that.
No,
because there's no repercussions even if they get caught.
Yeah.
So they're just like, if I just ignore it, then maybe it'll go away. Guy, but it doesn't.
If a guy is jacking off to you on a train and you punch him in the face in Japan,
then you're the one that gets in trouble.
Then you're the asshole because you're the one who initiated physical violence.
Exactly.
Right? So in the eyes of the police, you're the one who initiated it. It's weird. It's
like you can make the argument of, oh, it's self-defense, but then the law will turn around and go, well, he wasn't technically hurting you.
And also, do you have proof that he was, you know, doing these acts? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
It's sad, man. It's really sad.
Yeah, there is a fundamental problem and just, I don't know. Like, maybe they're trying to change the law. Maybe they don't give a fuck. I don't know. But either way, it's messed up. And it's more messed up that, again, the parents are not teaching
I think there definitely needs to be more protection for women here.
Yeah.
It's like it is a thing.
Women only cars is minimum protection.
No, yeah, exactly. The fact that we have to have women only cars.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have got to
and
that
even
point.
Then,
that
it's not solving the problem.
That's not a solution. No. You know what I mean? Pretty much every female I've talked to has had a story. You know, has a story.
Yeah.
There was a TV show I was watching. And it was literally called like Chican Hunters or something.
Mm.
And it was literally like a show where like four undercover cops would just go on a train. And it was like, this is just real cameras. And it was like GoPro footage. But of course, because it's in Japan.
So Chris Hansen, Japan.
Yeah, but of course it's in Japan, right? So everything is censored. You literally cannot see anything. Mm. The whole, because they're on a train with a GoPro.
Mm. Yeah.
Because of Japan, they don't like to show people on TV.
Mm. Yeah.
You can't see anything in this train.
Yeah.
They've blurred it out, right? But to distinguish who the pervert is and who the victim is, they're just blue blurs and a pink blur. Right, and you can't see what's going on.
Yeah.
It's absolutely shit TV.
Is this?
I think it was maybe 3 Tokyo.
Okay,
TBS.
Maybe TBS.
Yeah.
I don't know which channel it was. I only really watched like 3. I don't watch NHK. NHK is boring.
Mm.
But it was like, first of all, I was like, this is terrible production. This is awful.
Yeah.
But like, but they found like 4 dudes doing this in like one day.
Yeah,
in like the same like car,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, what the fuck? And they would like. They would have to get camera footage of them doing it like multiple times.
Yeah.
to prove that it wasn't an accident, because they could do the whole bump and touch their ass, but they would have to like catch them multiple times. And then I don't know what they did. I assume they just gave him like a slap on the wrist or something, but they wouldn't show their face or anything. And it was just like, you wonder, you're like, well, clearly like this punishment isn't effective. Like if you shamed them for doing it, would it help a little bit? But it's also like, is it fair to ruin someone's life over that? I don't know. Probably not. But like, it's weird. Also, there was like 20 cops for like one dude touching a girl's ass cheek. I was like, I think you don't need this many cops.
I think one, maybe two is enough.
I think two cops can handle one pervert. I think it's okay. I don't think you need like the whole
The dude is not like 9 feet tall and like 500 pounds. It's crazy. Like, I think one person can handle it.
It's crazy, right? So they have the four undercover detectives on this train, right? They find the guy, they come out, and then there's like eight more police escorting this one guy.
Fucking hell.
It's like, I get it. Like, it's, yeah, you got arrested. You want some backup. I totally understand. Yeah. But like, how much do you need? Like, come on, like, how much taxpayer money is going towards that there's 12 dudes arresting them?
I mean, there's probably, you know, to some of those cops, it's like, oh, finally, my first actual job.
Bro, the fine doesn't even cover his walk from the train to the fucking train holding room. Like, the police time wasted doesn't even cover the fine they gave this dude.
Yeah, it's a joke.
It's fucking stupid as fuck. It's like, you know, and I'm sure if we went through UK police or any UK laws or Australian laws, I'm sure we could find another 10,000 million things to criticize about. Yeah. We're in Japan, and you know, there's what's on our mind, bro. That was a societal deep conversation. God, maybe the next one will be dumb.
This episode did say a lot about society.
This one said a lot about how society's kind of like Squid Game, huh?
Who knew that one of the deepest Trash Days episodes to date started with a shitty meme that makes no sense.
It says a lot about society. Dear viewers, do you like it when we talk about hashtag deep stuff, or we get into some
hashtag deep stuff?
Hashtag more, you know, less surface level debates.
I think real stuff.
Yeah, real stuff. Yeah. Do you like it when we talk about this stuff?
I think we have a nice balance now. We started talking about anime. Yeah. Talking about food again.
That lasted, what, 5 minutes?
I like that Trash Taste is lighthearted and fun, but you know, sometimes I do like talking about some things that are not so fun.
You know, exactly.
I'm human.
It's an interesting conversation to have, I think, and especially
we need more people to talk about society.
Exactly. Yeah,
we need more society.
Because society is saying a lot right now. So we need.
You know what else says a lot about society? Our patrons. Our patrons.
It really says a lot about society that we have all these wonderful supporters supporting the show.
This goes hard. Feel free to screenshot this image.
This guy, he says a lot about society.
Oh my God, my brain is rotting, bro.
Yeah, same here.
But hey, if you like to support the show, then make sure to go to our Patreon, patreon.com/trashtaste. Also, follow us on Twitter, send us your memes on the subreddit, and if you hate our face, listen to us on Spotify.
Bye.
But this was a deep societal talk. Hopefully we can have many more things to say about society.
We are going to go back into society now. And hope you guys enjoy your time in society too. So
feel free to screenshot.
Bye.
Bye.